Like his dad was just a horrible person, just dropping N-bombs all the time. He gave a big speech one time where he was like, the two worst things a man can be is a gambler. And it's like, all right, I sort of see where you're... Okay, maybe. Okay, that's kind of a vice. And a faggot. It's like... It's like, and we're just like, this is like, we're 10-year-old kids. And he's giving us this speech while we're playing like Ken Griffey fucking baseball or whatever.
Σε γνωρίζω από την κόψη του σπαθιού την τρομερή. Σε γνωρίζω από την όψη που με διαμετράει τη γη. Απ' τα κόκαλα βγαλμένη των Ελλήνων τα ιερά, και σαν πρώτα αντρεωμένη, χαίρε χαίρε ελευθερία, και σαν πρώτα αντρεωμένη, χαίρε χαίρε ελευθερία, και σαν πρώτα αντρεωμένη, χαίρε χαίρε ελευθερία.
Hello everybody, welcome to Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank. I'm Ari Shaffir. How are you guys? I am feeling great. Before I start, I should say this. I got back to Los Angeles on Monday to fit the final touches on my special. It's looking great, sounding great. I get worried about every little detail. I get worried. It's like, is the sound edit done right? Did I leave the fucking laughs too low? I get so worried. Anyway, but I stopped into the Comedy Store. Fucking felt great to be home. Great to be home. I went in there to a stupid fucking... So I finished editing at like 1:30 in the morning, and then, all right, okay, I'll grant you guys, not having a smartphone is not always the best. Finished editing at like 1:30 a.m. I was supposed to finish at like 9 p.m. and go into the Comedy Store, find somebody, Simone or somebody, to crash on their couch. I got an Airbnb out here, but it didn't start until Friday. So I was like, I'll do it. And then I kept going until like 1:30 a.m. By the time I got out, I was like, I don't know. I can't. No one's around. So I drove, trying to find a hotel. The fucking Best Western cost 200 bucks. And I was like, fuck that. So I went to a couple, like a Travelodge and a Quality Inn. And then they were sold out. I guess it's busy season in L.A. And then I went to a place on Vermont, this shitty place they used to have comedy shows on, at $300. And I was like, is there anything that's cheap and clean? And he goes that, oh, I think then he said, go to the Travelodge. And I was like, okay, is that clean? He goes, it's cheap. And then I went over there, that was sold out. And I had fucking chicken wings in my car that I'm looking to get to. I bought them to go to a fucking hotel and eat them. And I was like, what am I doing? I just spent the last fucking 3.5 months living like a goddamn peasant. So I just drove up into the hills and I slept in my car. Ate chicken wings in my car, leaned the seat back. I'm a successful businessman. I slept in the car in front of fucking... Mexicans woke me up with their goddamn leaf blowers. Welcome back to Los Angeles. But I woke up in the morning, went into the Comedy Store to check my email. And it just felt good to be back there. It felt just great to be back around that place. Even daytime, it's just like got the sheen on it. Just reminds me of when I started comedy. And actually, this would be a good time for this. Speaking of, there's a new show coming out on Showtime called I'm Dying Up Here. And it's all about the Comedy Store. It's officially not about the Comedy Store. But that's just because the Comedy Store lawyers are fucking crazy. And everything they do there has to fucking overcome them. This is one guy who runs it. He's such a fucking dirtbag. He tried to nickel and dime everything out of me for my special. I was like, yeah, I gotta hang this red light around. He goes, that's gonna cost an extra $5,000. And I'm like, dude, I don't have an extra $5,000. He was the worst. He's just fucking skee-ball. It's always getting hookers and shit and bringing them by the store, and he'll hit on your girlfriend in front of you. oh, what a dirtbag. I forgot about that guy. And so then I bought a new curtain for the Comedy Store for the original room stage. Brand new curtain. It's all fucking nice. It costs $1,000. I mean, it's a nice piece of fabric. And then we're like, hey, we're going to give that to the Comedy Store afterwards. You know, you guys can have this nice new curtain. So this torn fucking gross one they had before. And then he put it in. He goes, hey, that's great, but don't put it in the contract that you're doing that because I'm... Because I want to be able to, because I want to be able to tell the Comedy Store that I negotiated that. Fucking people are garbage. I got to get back away from this country. Anyway, I'm dying up here. It's a new drama from Showtime. Jim Carrey's the one producing it, so he was a Comedy Store regular for years. So they have all the fucking prototypes of the Comedy Store. They have Mitzi, who they're calling Goldie, I guess. And the cool thing is they've hired store comics to be in the show. Al Madrigal's in the show as a comic. I think he's playing Freddie Prinze. I think. Andrew Santino's in the show, who's hilarious. They've both done This Is Not Happening, Madrigal and Santino. Eric Griffin's in the show. He has not done This Is Not Happening. sorry, Ben, why haven't you, dude? Have you ever done my live show? I wonder if he's even done it live. Anyway... Here's the deal. It's Sunday, June 4th at 10 p.m., 9 central on Showtime. After that, it's every Sunday. I'm dying up here. Sundays, 10, 9 central on Showtime. It really is about this weird, like, cool time. And I read that book, I'm Dying Up Here. It's not exactly, I read the script of this too. It's not exactly the same. It's more like an original thing. That book was great, though, about the Comedy Store strike. And this sort of, like, leads up to it. I've heard about the arc. I've met some of the writers. Yeah, it should show some of those ins and outs of those like late 70s Comedy Store times, mid to late 70s. So I'm real interested in this show. And also it's cool that I'm making a couple ducats out of it. A couple chat. That's Myanmar. All right, so today's episode, I got it's all about Greek life, you guys. I got a friend of mine, Stavros, who's a comedian in New York, who I've been trying to get on for a while. Sometimes with people, I'm like, hey, there's this topic I want to do, and I know you'll be able to do it. And then I'll go to that person and be like, can you do a... And then sometimes I'm like, hey, you're a funny comic. I just want to get you on. And then I'm like, what topics can we do? And then if they're cool and smart, they brainstorm a little bit. And then I'm like, yeah, that one piques my interest. So anyway, Stavros Halkios, or whatever the fuck you said, he's a Greek. He's a fucking filthy Greek. And so I was like, let's just talk about Greek people. So we're just going to talk about Greek people for an hour 40. He's really funny. He's a young guy coming from D.C. And he has a podcast with Nick Mullen called Cumtown. That's right, C-U-M. Cumtown. And that's doing really well. I'm going to go on there. I was supposed to go on there before I left. And then, you know... I bailed on America. So it should be cool. I've honestly never known much about Greek people, except that fucking cheese they lit on fire. And gyros. I know they're hairy. I never saw my big fat Greek wedding. Oh, that would have been a good Photoshop. Nor did I see my big fat Greek wedding, the musical or play. Fucking Broadway. But they keep throwing it down our throats like this is something we should care about. But it's just not that good. It's still just musicals. I mean, you're talking about Spider-Man, the musical, being a fucking multi-million-dollar affair. You guys are just shoving anything and saying, well, it's on Broadway. We got to see it. And they'll say, okay, they do say, fucking, and maybe I don't like musicals in general. I did see Chicago, the movie, and I saw some other musical, the movie, I forget which one, back then. And it was like, I just don't like when they break in a song in the middle of a fucking scene. It's unnatural. And people go, okay, you know what? That's true, but that's because those musicals are old and built on an own time period. What you need is something modern like Book of Mormon. And I saw Book of Mormon. I gotta be honest, for real. Musicals suck, you guys. Book of Mormon was funny for a musical. It's not as good as any episode of South Park, even the middle-level ones. Maybe it's better than the worst ones, but it's just okay. It's like an okay episode of South Park. That's how funny it was. So if you're there and you're like, oh, I'm in the mindset of like, I'm going to fucking see a stupid goddamn musical on Broadway. Yeah, I would love it if that random one I saw was the Book of Mormon. But no, it wasn't that good. And everyone leaves going, it was amazing. And you know why? Because you spent $275 on fucking mid-level tickets. So you have to say it was good, because you're not going to come out of there going, motherfucker, I just got robbed for $550 for two people and a fucking $14 glass of wine and a fucking sippy cup. By the way, if you do want, they let people out at intermission to go, you know, smoke and stuff. And then when they go back in, they don't really check tickets at all. So you can just easily watch the second half of Book of Mormon whenever you want. Dress up so you blend in. Wait till they're sort of out. And then just sort of like mingle in with them. And then when they call like, all right, intermission's over, just sort of like go back in. Meander, go to the bathroom, find a seat that's open. I'm going to do that. Why not? Free shit anyway. What sidetrack did I lose myself on? Anyway, whatever it is. So I'm glad I got Stavros on. Let's start the episode. Oh, I do have a bit of an announcement. So due to some unforeseen circumstances, we are taping this not happening this week, Sunday through Thursday, June 4th through the 7th, and then again June 19th through the 22nd in Los Angeles at Cheetah's again. We got some great storytellers. Unfortunately, due to some things that are out of my control, and I'm really sorry about this, I won't be there to host this year. Some shit came up, and it's so last minute, and we're not going to cancel the fucking show just because I can't be there to host the shows. So, we got Roy Wood Jr., who's a very, very funny comic from Los Angeles. From New York. Was from Atlanta. Good friends with this Pat, by the way. He's going to host. He's on The Daily Show, too. This will probably be his first credit, right? Over Good Friends with Miss Pat. So he's going to host instead of me. We still got great comics. The shows are still going to be tremendous. Joey Diaz is still doing it. All the great comics are still doing it. The show's going to be great. But what I need from you guys is when you're there, I need you to like really get into the show. Really clap and give it up for all the comedians and really make it great, because it's Roy's first time doing it. I'm sure he'll be a little nervous. So like, I need you guys to like fill in the gap and like really get those crowds going, you know, really laugh at everybody, really get into the stories, fucking put your focus on it and fucking make it great for all the comics. That would help me out a lot. So, if you want tickets, free tickets, it is, you go to The Blacklist NYC. It's not in New York, but that's where their company is. TheBlacklistNYC.com/TINH. And I think you got to put in lowercase TINH. I tried uppercase on Twitter and I don't know why it wouldn't work. But anyway, TheBlacklistNYC.com/TINH. If you want to go to more than one taping, if you want to go to a specific person's taping, reach out to the comic who's on there and then say, like, what's your code I'm supposed to use to make sure to go see your taping? And they'll tell you. Rita Rudner's doing it. That's pretty cool. But if you want to go to more than one night, use the referral code Jew. Just put that in there, and that allows you to go to, like, multiple. I think you can go to, like, all 8 days. Only one show per day, but you can go to all 8 days. Tapings, or at least like four or five, you know, what you want, multiple days. It might be three a week. So anyway, do that, go there, really fucking go crazy for all the comics. I'd appreciate it. All right, shall we start the episode? I think we shall. Yeah, I'm happy to have gotten Stavros on here. He's a fucking funny guy. His Instagram shit was fucking amazing, and I'm so fucking pissed that they take it down. I hate that fucking anti-free speech shit. He used to post these amazing naked pictures on Instagram. They were so fucking cool. Anyway, all right. Let's start the episode. Ari Shaffir, Skeptic Tank. Okay, wait. Ladies and gentlemen, Ari Shaffir, Skeptic Tank. I guess I didn't have to say that. Episode 293. Greek Life with Stavros Halkios. First now. Greeks don't want no freaks. The Greeks don't want no freaks.
Starting to fuck other girls has helped me to sort of get over it.
My friend told me that once. He was like, when you break up with a girl, getting dumped or not, he goes, go get a... This guy was like a quiet dude. He goes, go get a hooker. Or he said, when it's been a while since you've gotten laid.
Yeah.
He goes, you get the stink of pussy on you. There's just something. You act a different way, and girls like respond to
Yeah.
Women respond to like your confidence.
Yeah, I don't think the hooker would help me. Yeah. Being wanted is more even than the actual sex. It's like just
oh really
the attention. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The like
being, oh really?
Yeah, being sought after. The like feel and don't get me wrong. After a while, I want you know if it's a fucking month or whatever. Yeah, I'm gonna want to fuck just biologically, but more than but anything,
more so.
It's just yeah, it's just the validation from a girl.
I know some guys who fuck a lot.
Yeah,
who fuck like a lot, and you're like, let's say Mark Norman type.
Sure.
Yeah, that type. Other people, though, too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then I was surprised at how many kind of gross women they fuck.
Sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like, look, I just need to fill the hole.
Exactly. Exactly. I need to fill the hole to fill the hole.
I need someone to want me.
Yeah. Absolutely. And yeah, that's what it fucking, and that's why even just like women on the internet or just like any attention is just nice. Like, this is almost, yeah, it's almost better on some level. Like, and, but then again, that's the problem is that once I get that base level of like confidence, it's like, then I do like, then I start feeling myself. Then I just start fucking. Then I start being bad. You know, treating women poorly.
Why?
And just
too
like,
many options, and you start.
Yeah, it's what I was talking about earlier, where it's like I go from no self esteem to just like fucking Roman emperor levels of like of when it comes to women specifically, and it's like when I was in a good. I mean, part of that fucking relationship, but the problem was like I sort of kept things kind of open and in that weird zone where it's like you technically can fuck other women, but like, you know, it's going to make this girl upset and you like
what,
her
the last girlfriend.
Yeah. And you like her and you kind of, you think you're going to date or whatever. So you know what you're doing is wrong. And it's like, you have like a legal defense, I guess, cause you haven't had it.
We didn't officially say
exactly, yeah. But you know what you're doing is fucked.
Yeah.
And so I think that's part of the, I mean, the thing between me and her is just like I feel it sucks. Cause I feel like I wanted to get another shot at that relationship. I don't even care about that anymore. It's more I'm still mad about my friend who just kind of stabbed my back. But anyway.
Yeah. Who was it?
It was another comic. It was somebody that I fucking...
How old is he?
A couple years younger than me, 26 or 27.
I feel like there's a level like when Pete and what's his name? Chris.
Chris, yeah.
Where it's like at some point you'll grow up.
Right.
Because of a while we can't get laid.
Right.
And so then it's like feast or famine kind of thing.
Yes.
And then you can, and then at some point you realize, wait a minute, is this going to like hurt my friendship?
Right, right.
Is this worth it? I have gotten laid now.
Right.
When they go like one thing led to another, and it's like, oh, you mean she came on to you and you went for it?
Yeah, exactly.
Or you felt a vibe and
right.
then you both pushed it instead of saying, oh, whoa, let me get out of here.
But here's the thing. You can fuck her. I don't care. Like, even fucking date her. He lied to me about it. He just didn't.
Of course he's going to lie, though.
He was cagey about it.
Of course he's going to lie, though.
But,
that's
dude,
like Clinton.
I know, but it's one of those things where it's like, dude, just have that. It's a horrible conversation to have. Like,
yeah.
I'm dating. She wasn't my. I'm not one of those possessive guys where it's like, are you fucking.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't.
It is weird, though. It's like.
I wouldn't fuck my friend's girlfriend, yeah. ex-girlfriend. I wouldn't do it. That's me personally.
Yeah.
But if you're that kind of guy.
Yeah.
I'll never be your friend, but I'll at least fucking I won't hold a grudge against you for the rest
yeah,
of my
yeah.
life.
Even if it's to me, it's even if it's someone my friend just kicks it with like once a month.
Yeah,
I'm still like
it's weird.
This might be weird.
It's weird.
Yeah. So like I might have to tell you hey, she's kind of like flirting. What's the story
right,
there?
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Not ownership, but at the same time, like
it's valuing your relationship. You know what I mean? The relationship
yeah.
between friends to at least talk about.
I mean, yeah. Let's say it like this. Well, this is ownership, I guess. My example is going to be like if you have a kid and I want to be a big brother to somebody.
Right.
I have to ask you permission if it's
right,
your
right,
kid.
Right.
But
right.
That
right,
is ownership
right,
you do
yeah.
on your kid.
Well,
right?
it's some yeah. relationship. It, like a cousin. I don't fucking know. It's just like you have a relationship with somebody, and I mean, it's just like I don't know. I mean, it is so specific. The women, you know.
I'm trying to think of a friend comparison of that. If I play basketball with you every week, and
right.
I'm going to start playing basketball every week with Style Rose.
Yeah.
Even that, I'd be like, what?
That's kind of our thing. Yeah, it's like a little bit of like, but it's just such a specific circumstance. You know what I mean? Where it's like that relationships are so messy. But whatever, man. Fuck.
Yeah.
I
finally got to the point where I'll call the person and I'll text them and say, hey, what's your story? I just found out that you guys had hooked up.
Right.
Benson once was like that. And he goes, oh, no, that was years ago. And,
right.
And it was just, like, casual. Yeah. And I was like, okay, cool. But then I was still like, you know what? Nah.
Yeah, because it's like, there's that intimacy, and it's like, I don't know, man. How the I just don't get. It's so weird too to like have a real intimacy with two people that then have the same level of intimacy. You know what I mean? It's like he was one of my best friends.
Yeah.
We dated for. I never even talked to her about it, but like, I don't know, man. It was a fucked up relationship, but I felt real. I don't know if like. The concept of love is a hard thing for me to fucking, you know, think about. It's like, I don't know. Like, I think I only really love, I think I loved her, you know? Like, I think I had, like, I had super strong feelings for her, but only because I never really talked about it. It was this weird thing where usually for me, I feel trapped in a relationship.
Uh-huh.
But because we started dating when I already knew I was moving to New York, we had this conversation where it was like, well, we're not going to.
It was in D.C.?
It was in Baltimore. Yeah, yeah. Baltimore.
Baltimore.
And then she moved to D.C. and I moved to New York. And
I'm coming to be with you. Well, I'm leaving.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah. It was this fucking. So it was like, it had an expiration date. So I felt. So then when I knew it was going to end, I let myself get close because I didn't feel trapped.
Oh,
it's this
yeah.
weird fucked up thing yeah. where it's like.
Yeah, you're probably fucked up.
Oh, that's. I mean, if that's kind of an intrigue.
I do that
to
shit too, though.
Yeah. I think the immigrant thing has a lot to do with it. I think seeing yeah. my parents, because my parents had a horrible. I mean, their marriage is bad.
Are they like, still together?
Still together. They're one of those. It's like I like think of it as like, you know, children of divorce don't like a child of should have been divorced. They're just like they're in it. They just roommates who fucking treat each other poorly.
Really?
Well, my dad is one of these fucking old school guys who went straight from. His mother doing all his chores and cleaning and cooking and shit to his wife doing all his stuff.
Is that a normal thing?
That's Greeks, man. I mean, still in my neighborhood, you'll see people who fucking live like villagers in America in 2017, where it's like there are these fucking guys who have full time jobs,
yeah.
Fucking rolling around in Benzes, spending money on every sneakers, shoe, you know, sneakers, fucking dressing great, live with their fucking mom, like,
really?
and will live that way until they. Find a wife and just will move in with her.
How do you get married if you live with your mom?
That's because they're all the dating pool is 30 people big. It's the fucking girls they went to Greek school with, the girls they grew up, they went to church with. It's like, I mean, I look at some of my friends now, some of the kids I grew up with, and it's like, are these girls who I feel like the girls really get short shifted here because just the fucking animals I grew up with, they're just like. These piece of shit Greek guys who are all materialistic and doing this weird like idea of what masculinity is to them, you know, that's been kind of filtered. It's villager shit that's been filtered to 2017 in these weird ways. And it's like these girls who are smart, go to college and shit, end up just dating these fucking second generation diner operators who didn't think they need to go to fucking school, didn't need to do anything. And it's like, you went to fucking college. You're smart. You're a good person. And that goes for some of the guys, too. But it's like, just get the fuck out of there. You don't have to date. You don't have to marry. Even if you want to marry a Greek, move to fucking New York. Find different Greeks. Like,
right.
What the fuck are you doing? The same people you went to elementary school with are not the people you have to end up with. But to them, their world is so small.
Is it just because they're like short, like they can't dream?
I think there's an element of that. I mean, I grew up in Baltimore.
Where? Is it Baltimore? Is there a lot of Greeks in Baltimore?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I'm speaking of like this specific community, but I think it's the same of most Greek communities around.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of the people that I know, that they just their world is that small. I mean, I grew up in Baltimore, but I didn't leave Greek. I didn't know about half of Baltimore. Like, I stayed in an 8-block radius in Baltimore.
You guys
Baltimore.
Weren't religious. It wasn't religious-based, was it?
It was around the church, but we weren't really religious. It was one of those, like, we're Greek Orthodox, technically, and there were some long church services. I was an altar boy.
A few times a year?
Yeah, I mean, I actually, when I was growing up, church was a big part of, like, my life. My parents weren't particularly religious. My dad kind of had that, like, you just do it because you have to do it type yeah. of shit. He never went, but he sent us to church.
Yeah.
And my mom is this weird...
Pay for me.
Yeah, exactly. So he's like, I did it when I was your age, and my dad was fucking, you know, gambling while I was in church. So I'm just going to sit here and fucking drink coffee and, I don't know, cheat on your mother. Go watch soccer and plan to cheat on your mother with the Hispanic waitress at the coffee house.
Really?
I don't know if, but there, well, I don't know about her specifically, but there's definitely like, there's this bar in Greektown where it's like just a bunch of fucking dirtbag Greek guys, and all the waitresses were like almost certainly sex trafficked Russian women, like, who got out, like that was their graduation. It's like, if you're lucky, you don't have to be a fucking prostitute, but you're gonna be
a waitress in Greektown.
Yeah. You're gonna be a waitress at fucking, I don't want to shit on the establishment by name because they have great lamb chops and I plan to go back, but yeah, man, it's just, it was like church was a big part of it, but it's just that it was the anchor of the community, was the church.
Yeah, so we have, you can't get out in like my little community, and right. there were
yeah, you grew up in Orthodox Jewish. Jewish, yeah,
they're probably the same as like plenty of, almost maybe even most not Jewish, but there were so many Jews there together that it was like the Jewish community.
Right.
But it was all around like religion.
Right.
And if
right.
you were like a non-religious Jew, though, you just weren't part of that.
Right.
Core.
Well, it wasn't about the religion. It was culture, and religion just, was a huge. The church was a huge anchor of that.
Okay.
So like Greek, I went to Greek school until sixth grade. After school, I would go three times a week to learn Greek, to
really?
Learn Greek history.
You speak Greek?
Yeah, I speak Greek. And then I would go, so we would have
so Greek
how do you
school. Say this in Greek? Give me those Jordans or I'm going to fucking cut you.
Dos mu ta Jordan sou e tha se kopso. Yeah. Doesn't work that well. Dos mu ta papucha sou, papucha's shoes. But yeah. Yeah, fluent. I mean, my dad doesn't even fucking really speak English. Like,
really?
He, like, wow. I mean, he, look, don't get me wrong, he does because he's a carpenter, he's a businessman. But if you're not talking about wood with him, if you're not talking about fucking cabinet measurements, his English falls off big time. So, yeah, I mean, I grew up speaking English to
oh,
my
really?
Dad.
He knows
yeah,
just
speaking
that
Greek to the, yeah, or hitting on, I mean, the funny thing is, it's that or. Like, I remember when he met my college girlfriend, it was so clear the only way he knew how to speak to women was to hit on them.
Yeah.
So he's just like, I'm like, hey, here's my... And he's like, oh, you have beautiful eyes. And it's right. like, what are you trying to fuck my girlfriend, Dad? But yeah, that's... I mean, he has a very limited English vocabulary and is, you know... Which actually makes communication with your dad is kind of difficult, especially for me, which is like, you know... I talk basically for a living. Like, expressing myself is in English is what I'm pretty good at, what I'm the best at. So it's like trying to have like these fucking, trying to communicate ideas to my dad in Greek is really hard for me because I talk like, you know, maybe like in a middle schooler in Greek. Like, I'm a very oh, yeah. well-spoken 14-year-old.
You get by in Greece,
I
though.
Get by in Greece. I totally get by, but it's like if you talk to me long enough, it just kind of starts, it just like... I get frustrated because I'm trying to communicate these things that I don't have the capacity for in Greek.
You have Greek Alzheimer's.
Yeah, essentially, yeah. I start forgetting who my relatives are. My grandmother, when I went to Greece 3 years ago, she died. I got to see her before she died, but she was kind of losing nice. It. And so I was worried, is she going to remember me? And I go to see her, and she's like, I'm like, hey, it's Stav, you know, Manoli's son from America. And he's like, who are you? You're not Manoli. She's like, you got fatter. And it's like, uh-huh. wait, you don't know who the fuck I am? But you remember that I got fatter? That shit is, that's what cut through her dementia.
Did she think you were, oh yeah.
No, she just, I think she knew,
your dad?
She didn't know who I was.
Yeah.
But she had like what she like, held on about me was that I was the fat grandson that they always bullied for being too fat whenever I came from America.
And then you got fatter.
Yeah, and then I got fatter. It's just like, all right, you fucking old bitch.
You
well,
still putting up those naked pictures on Instagram?
I got banned from Instagram. Instagram took me down.
No way.
Yeah, and I wasn't against the terms of use. I just can't, and I can't communicate to anyone there. They won't return my emails.
No way. That was like artistic,
dude. Exactly. I spent a lot of time. I'm gonna try and bring it back, and hope I don't get banned again. But yeah, I had 10,000 followers.
And there's no way to like tell them like, hey guys, can actually talk to someone on the phone as he looks at the
exactly.
So they can like
there's
show them
no
that it's
way.
Not.
There is no way.
They just go, we got a lot of complaints. You're out.
Exactly. And you know what I got complaints for? Harassment.
Harassment.
Which makes no fuck. It's all it was someone spamming and trying to get me kicked off. That's what it was. And that's social media is so paranoid because they were allowing harassment for so long, and then now they've swung the other way where it's like even. We're not going to look into it, but if enough people say you're doing it, yeah. you're guilty.
We did probably my best day of radio ever. It was on the old ONA when they did Sirius XM and FM. They're going back and forth. They would do a walkover.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah. And they would have cordless mics and you walk through the streets of Manhattan from one studio to another. They talked to people on the way, homeless people.
Holy shit.
Yeah, it was, I mean, it was
That's
great.
That's wild, yeah.
And you were there for 5 hours.
Holy
sometimes.
Shit. Yeah.
I grew up there with Rogan. It was just like on. And we had this, the best day, the best day. It was right after Kramer dropped the N-bomb.
Oh, my God.
And so we had Jamie Masada in at some point.
Holy shit.
Talking
really?
About how he doesn't allow the N-word anymore in his club. And it was like me, Burr, Rogan, Kylie, like all these people going, "Don't you run an important comedy club. Don't yeah. fucking ban words."
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, let the audience choose.
Right,
let
right.
them say we don't stand. Yeah. Like, it's not, don't do that.
You can't, yeah, you can't police
yeah.
words.
And then he was like, whatever. And then it turned into like, shitting on like Dane Cook stealing Louis C.K. stuff.
Right.
And then like, then we had like, we were playing the two things back to back over
wow.
and over again. You can see Bert slowly switching. First, like, all right, that's just one similar bit from, I get it. And then like, here's another bit from that same Dane special and the same Louis special. And then Burr's like, ooh, well, that's, it goes, hold on, here's another one. And it was like three different ones from the same albums.
Oh, wow.
And then Burr's like, well, that's, all right, well, that's tough. To,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, but that was later in the day. The beginning was a fucking eggnog drinking contest. It was so good. And everyone had to drink one double shot of eggnog every minute. It was so great. And the barfing started about 10 minutes in.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, that sounds horrible.
Yeah, people start, some guy started barfing in his Fruit Loops and then like eating it.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Yeah, and then so they made, then somebody eventually barfed into someone else's mouth.
Oh my God.
Yeah, someone suggested that they, somebody leaned their head back, that's it, and barfed directly into that guy's
mouth.
Yeah, Big A, I think.
Oh, geez.
Or Pat from Wanaki. And he had diabetes. So he was like, as soon as I'm done with this, I got to shoot myself with insulin and make myself throw up. So like, do it here. So he tilted his head back over a garbage
no.
can like he was getting a haircut.
Oh, my God.
You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Where get
getting
his
shampooed. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Like, I love when they choose to do that. It's always yeah. like, oh, you don't need, okay. Well, yeah. This feels nice.
Yeah.
But like, and the guy barfed on, it looked like, when the still picture looks like, he was a spider eating his prey,
oh,
and it was like breaking,
God.
Covered his whole face. And he did that. The guy barfed on so he could be an intern.
That's yeah. the application
like,
process.
This, he's an intern, yeah. Rogan either suggested we do this or came up with a name. I forget. Mm-hmm. But it was the baby bird.
Oh, yes. Like, the baby
directly.
Bird, yeah,
and,
yeah.
Oh, my God. It was so great. Oof, and the wind would shift in there, and it would like you, would smell the throw up, and you'd be like, oh
God. Air,
oh, it was so great. Anyway,
yeah.
Video went up, and then it got pulled down. Later that day, I think. And then we talked to like Roland or something. Like, what happened to the video? He goes, it's fucking Stern. It's Stern goes after you. And so they cast their fans to throw out a bunch of complaints.
Really?
And they get taken down. He goes, we know the people at YouTube now. So we can say, hey, can you look at this to make sure? It'll go back up.
Yeah.
But, and Stern is so anti-free speech. He's so like,
damn.
It only free speech if it's for me.
Right.
That's
right,
mostly
right.
why I hate him. He's just like
right.
not the guy he said he was.
Yeah, yeah,
but,
yeah.
But like, he's so anti-free speech. He's like, let's take that shit down. What is it? This doesn't hurt anybody.
Yeah, yeah,
you?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then they have it into YouTube where they can put it back up.
That's
but without
good.
That in, at somebody at you or my level.
Exactly.
It's like, I guess it's just done.
Yeah, it was hard, man. And I fucking tried to get people to, I tried to, you know, pull whatever I could, but no
can
one
call
could
somebody
get,
or write somebody?
Yeah, no one. And the way I even found out about it was I tweeted about it and a bunch of my friends retweeted it, so it got some traction. So just a guy who knew a guy who worked at Instagram
yeah.
just kind of looked into the complaint, just had access yeah. to the files, and he was like, hey, man, yeah, we can't get it back up. Someone is just like, and I don't have the clearance to just like, if
did he
it,
say like, you're right?
Yeah, he just said, bummer, I'm sorry, but it's like, they said it's harassment and I can't do anything about it.
Was it harassment? You're just posting weird naked pictures.
I know. I wasn't...
And it wasn't even... You always cover your dick, right?
Oh, absolutely. I was 100% covered. Yeah. I was totally...
I mean, I'm not going to say you're Mapplethorpe.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, it's in that direction, though.
Right, yeah, yeah.
It wasn't like, look at my sexuality. It was like, look
yeah.
at this fucking artistic...
And I was. It was a joke. It was like
dumb,
a, it
yeah.
was a period... It was like a fucking... It was kind of a concept of like kind of making fun of how women are like treated in like on the internet and in like popular culture, where it's like if a woman was to pose like this, that's like a, just a regular advertisement for something. Right. But if you put a fat guy, just a normal looking fat dude in there,
well,
it's
not normal, but yeah,
yeah,
very
yeah,
disgusting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. A beautiful fat man.
Rotund. Just use other words to make it seem better.
A cherubic.
Vivacious. Yeah. Yeah.
A curvaceous young boy. But if you put a dude in there, it becomes funny. It becomes absurd.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, that's should one is hot and one is so ridiculous we find it a joke. It's yeah. like women shouldn't be, you know, it's like you shouldn't that's anyway, so there was kind of like a point I was trying to make also, and just trying to be funny, honestly. Yeah,
but that's your form is funny.
Yeah, exactly. So they were just like, but anyway, so yeah, that got fucked. So I'm hopefully I can fucking
I know
get
what's
back.
Her name was trying to challenge it. Chelsea was trying to challenge a little bit. She would do exactly what Kim Kardashian was doing, pose exactly like her.
Really?
Because she would always get naked stuff taken down.
Wow.
She was making jokes. And then she'd pose exactly like her, put like a split screen, and then put your move Instagram.
Awesome.
Like you allowed that.
Awesome.
Are you not going to allow
That's
me to
awesome.
Do the exact
yeah.
same thing?
Well, yeah, and Eric Andre posts his dick and, you know, he doesn't get taken down and shit. It's just that you they don't know.
Also,
I'm just
it's like,
not...
oh, you're a star. It's okay.
Exactly. Exactly.
Everybody's garbage.
I know. They suck. So I'm hoping to get some kind of shit back because I enjoy doing it too.
Yeah.
But.
Well, that's all the time we have. No, I'm just. So your dad, where were we? Where were we on?
Oh, yeah, like, yeah. We were just talking about
Greek
fucking.
Life.
I don't even remember exactly what we were talking about. Oh, I was talking about my grandma and then, fuck, I don't know.
Saying how fat you were.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Saying
is Greece like that Greek town in Baltimore?
Yeah, I mean, in certain ways. I mean, obviously, it's sort of like how Italians here aren't, you know, it's kind of become like a transformed culture where it's like certain things stay, certain things don't. But in a lot of ways, yeah, I mean, it's, you still have these super little old ladies that are just like dressed, they wear black when their husband dies.
Forever.
Until they just fuck, and it's
what?
Just like, they're just walking around and like, you know, I mean, you have a lot of that traditional stuff. It's different because there's a lot of different types of Greek people from different islands and different, so there's the kind of culture sort of mix and meld a little bit, but it's, you know, it's similar, and that's kind of why, you know, I wanted to fucking get out. I mean, it was it's just kind of this weird culture of like, you know, everyone's very materialistic, everyone just sort of, and everyone just wants to show that they're doing better than the other person. There's no like...
Really?
Yeah, there's so much competition and so much posturing. I mean, so many people that, like, you know, I was talking about those guys that live with their moms but have fucking $100,000 cars or whatever. And there's families like that who are just like, you know, you, or they would move out to, that was kind of, for a while, that was the move, is to go to the suburbs, get a huge fucking house, and
show
then...
Off, nothing in the bank.
Exact. Oh, yeah.
Are you
nothing
familiar
in
with
the
Persians?
Bank. Yeah, I mean, I don't really know them that well, but yeah, yeah, it's, it,
so
I guess kind of similar.
West Coast, Persians, and
yeah, they're all
Armenians
on the West Coast
a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Persians especially are like that, like super showy.
Yeah, well, that's the thing about Greeks is they're fucking racist and shit. But it's like, yeah, well, basically, we're just lucky that we're a couple latitude marks into Europe instead of the Middle East, because like, you know, we're basically fucking in the Middle East, like,
yeah, right.
And especially if you go
real close to Israel,
yeah. If you go further south, it's like all these people,
Africa?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You're right by all these fucking racists. That it's like there's certain, like these. There's I grew up with a lot of Carpathians. Yeah, that's an island. It's Carpathos is an island, and they're like pretty fucking racist, but they're very southern island, and they're all fucking got real curly hair and real tans.
Really?
And it's like, well, who do you how do you think you got that genetically? It's like it's that scene from what's it, True Romance. Yeah, it's like, that's what happened to you, man. You're a quarter black or something, if, yeah, if you really go. And all those guys are the most racist.
You're an eggplant.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I love that scene. He's gonna die. He's like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm not telling
you. It rules.
I'll die.
It rules. That
and
scene.
I'm gonna make sure you kill me.
Yeah.
By fucking laying into you.
Yeah, that scene fucking rules.
Yeah.
But
I haven't killed anybody in 12 years. Something like that. Does your mom put up with the cheating and stuff?
Well, the cheating is like this thing that's like a fucking open secret where it's like, I don't know if he still does it.
Yeah.
Here's what happened to him.
Because it's like 1,000 now, right?
Well, he's 60.
Oh, he could still fuck
mid-60s, or yeah, mid-60s. And but what happened to him, and it's so fucking perverse, it's like he had a fucking heart attack, he had to lose weight, and he just fucking got a little confidence and just started fucking around and shit like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I don't know, it was like this, I feel bad. Here's the thing, though. coming from like an immigrant background, it's like, Americans right now aren't like, there's certain people that don't have very lovey-dovey backgrounds, even if you're from the Midwest or whatever, but it's like, my family's, like, families were so fucked up. Like, my dad has, he's an emotionally stunted, kind of selfish guy who's still kind of childish, what, you know, and selfish in a lot of ways, maybe a narcissist, I don't really know exactly, but a lot of fucked up shit. But, like, the way his parents met, like, his household, so the way his it was an arranged marriage, and his dad was kind of like a piece of shit, and they couldn't. My paternal grandfather, yeah, was kind of like a piece of shit. They couldn't find him anyone to marry in their village. Right, they live in mainland Greece. They can't find anyone around mainland Greece to marry this guy.
Oh.
So they go to an island, just go to a random island, and they have it all set up. He's going to marry this family's oldest daughter. They get there. That woman takes one look at him, and she's like, no.
No way.
I don't fucking want to marry this guy. And
even
so,
though she hasn't married at all and she's like, time is ticking?
Yeah, I think she had like a boyfriend or something. I don't know exactly, but she looked at that guy, at my grandfather, and was like, no. So her family is like, wow, we feel so bad for you. We feel you came all this way, whatever, you all this trouble. Just marry our youngest daughter. And that's my fuck. Those are my grandparents. So this woman, my grandmother, thought she was going to go to her, she thought she was going to go to her sister's wedding, and now she's shipped off. She just leaves her whole
right then.
I mean, just you leave and you go fucking move to a whole different fucking place. This guy you don't know, he fucking sucks. You don't like him at all, and you just have this marriage. You have kids. You live together for the rest of your life. I mean, that's shitty if that's a Craigslist roommate.
Wow,
you'd want to get out of that lease in six months. You'd break the lease to get out of it.
Well, she I was living with you. It's like, oh, I couldn't, so I got somebody.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, wait, what?
Yeah. It's unbelievable. Ooh. Yeah. And so of course, and they hated each other. They're yelling and screaming at each other this whole fucking time. And my grandfather was like, he played the lottery every day, never won. That's how unlucky he was. The odds to
play
the lottery.
Is that what's like the three-digit lottery?
Yeah, he's just playing like, whatever the fuck.
Numbers?
He played the numbers, yeah. He just played it every fucking day. Never won his whole... He won like $300 his whole life. The odds of that are crazy. Wow. You're going to win a couple grand if you play every fucking day of your life. Just not a good father, not a good fucking person. They never encouraged my father to go to school. He drops out in like when he's 12, you know? And it's like, yeah, he's going to be fucked up. He's not going to get how to fucking relate to human beings emotionally. And it's like, so there, and then my mom's on the other side. It's like her parents had like this love story where my grandmother, my maternal grandmother, her family were communists, and they had to like flee Greece during the Holocaust because communists were getting got, you know, gypsies, gay guys, and gay people and communists were like also getting just killed.
Who else?
There was another group.
I know there was a lot of groups.
Yeah, I don't remember. Those three,
yeah,
though.
Okay. Communists, gypsies, and...
It was 6 million of those, I think.
Gypsies, and what was the other one?
Retarded people?
Retarded people,
Okay, that's it. Yeah. So as a little girl, my grandmother flees Greece to not get... not get fucking killed by Nazis.
Beliefs.
Yeah, her political beliefs. They go to Bulgaria. So she grows up in communism in Bulgaria. My grandfather, who she would met, he's fighting in the Greek. There were so many like skirmishes after World War II in that area. Everyone was kind of like fighting for the land after, you know, the occupations ended.
Yeah.
And he became a prisoner of war in Bulgaria. And they closed the border, so he's stuck there. He falls in love with my grandmother. Her dad is like, I just took you from Greece. You're going to marry a Greek guy? No way. Against his wishes, elope, escape, fucking start a family, move back to Greece. Like a kind of a night, kind of like a love story. And then, but I think he was also an alcoholic and like, not a fucking, there's some.
So that daughter of that.
Of that marries
the son of
that other shit, and it's like this weird, and I don't know. So it's hard for me not to have empathy for my dad, even though he can be, he's like the best bad dad. You know, because he didn't fucking... I mean, he yelled, but he never hit it, you know.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of Greek people that fucking still hit their kids and, like, you know.
Like, a lot, just for, like, yeah. no reason, really.
Yeah, just, like, you know, a lot of kids in my age would get hit by their grandparents and shit, like, wooden spoons and shit like that. My grandmother would always threaten it, but we would make fun of her. We called her the warden to make fun of her. And
I love when the older people get, like, they threaten you or they beat you or whatever, and then at some point you're like, it hits you. Not right away, but... Because it's been like a year since your last threat.
Yeah. Something
like that. And they threaten and you realize like, you can't take me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm fucking 15 and a half now.
Yeah.
I'm bigger than you.
Right. I'm a growing boy.
What are you talking about?
Yeah. So I don't know. But that was a fucking...
Did they... Okay. So
they, that's that kind of fucking background. And then they met... My parents met in like Athens. My mom moved to America. She moved back to Greece and like kind of, you know... Well, her dad, the guy I was just talking about, who's like super romantic and shit. The way they moved to Greece was he was looking for work, and so this is my mom's dad, and he's applying for jobs, and some guy tells him what the job is. He's like, it pays this much, you'll be working this many hours, and you know, it's a good company. He's like, oh great. He's like, oh, also it's in America, and they're in Greece at the time. And my grandfather, this is like, you know, this is how much they cared about women's opinions in the fucking 60s, just goes home, tells his wife, I'm going to be moving to America. When I get enough money, I'll bring you guys over. There's no discussion. There's no like, do you think this is good for us? There's just like, you know.
I'm doing this.
Yeah. So there's all this weird like fucking fucked up patriarchy shit that I think is fucking my mom's brain up. It's the reason she's still sort of with my dad. And I think that's true of a lot of immigrant, you know, people in general.
Oh, like this is where you're supposed to do it.
Yeah, you just feel
this deep
like,
shit when you're raised with something, like when you're young, where it's like, absolutely. I can't shake it. Like when you see Fez knock him out of the closet after his dad died.
Right.
And it's like, why?
Yeah.
Or like, exactly. Hold on, this other guy. we were talking about him the other day. It's like, you're clearly gay. No one questions. No one's like, I think you're gay. You're
100%,
definitely gay.
100%.
So it's like...
And we'd be
What's wrong with you coming? Yeah. And then we figured it out. It's like, you live in New York. You're a stand-up comedian.
Yeah.
So no one really care here. We have gay friends.
Yeah.
Everyone likes Mateo.
Yeah.
You know? Totally. There's no problem.
Right.
And you're... Well, I was going to say you're gayer than Mateo, but maybe not.
No, Mateo's very gay.
Mateo might be the gayest.
Mateo's as gay as it gets, almost.
Mateo's the line. Mateo's a six on the
scale. Yeah. The fucking meter is fucking breaking the glass.
I love workout Mateo now, where it's like
God.
Really in like,
he's so
oh, yeah, working his body to get fucking dick.
It's so funny to see, yeah.
Yeah, but that guy's like, why won't you come out of the closet? And we think it might be something to do with like, maybe when he was like 12, his dad was like, these fucking faggots, I hate them all. And then it's like, well, yeah. I'll never be a fully realized human.
But who even really knows? It's just like,
yeah, who knows?
Who? It's like, you have this opinion of yourself and it's like, I don't know, when you're living like something like that, I can't even wrap my head around it because it clearly goes beyond any kind of like logic. It's such deep-seated shit. And I think deep-seated family shit, you never really know how it's going to affect you.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm working through all that shit now. It's like, I mean, just doing stand-up, when I first went into therapy because the guilt of not like getting a good job and fucking
from
like, my parents raised me. I was the firstborn, you know, firstborn son. That still means something to these people.
Thing?
Yeah. It still means something in that culture. And I was also the smartest. My parents also, it was like through in vitro fertilization. Like I was a test tube kid. So it took them years to have kids. So like it takes them 10 years to have me. I'm the firstborn. And I'm kind of a smart, precocious baby, you know. And I did good on standardized tests. So all this shit, and it seemed like they were like, my mom's one of those moms that was convinced I was going to go to Harvard at 12. I was going to be one of those kids. And it's just like, I'm just kind of a smart kid, you know. Like I'm not, but I'm lazy as shit. And like whatever, but the reason I went into therapy was the guilt was so bad because I knew when I was 18 that winter break I did stand up for the first time and I knew I wanted to do it. I just knew, you know. Yeah. And
at 18,
yeah. But and so I'm in therapy because I'm like, should I drop out? I don't know what to do. I mean, I had a scholarship to go to college, and like I said, my parents expected me to like be a lawyer. My dad sort of saw me as like a get out of debt ticket almost. Like, it was like he's investing in me more than anything else, you know? And so I just was like, I don't know what to do. My therapist at the time told me to quit school. That she was just like, just fucking quit. Like, it's clear you want to. She didn't know if I was good or not, so I don't know. But, I mean, she was right. I should have. But I didn't. I quit comedy at that age. Like, I did it for like a year or two. And then I just stopped, really went into, hit the books really hard, had a really good grades. And then my senior year, I was like, what the fuck am I doing? I hate this. And I just went back. I just started doing stand-up, and I was like, but it was that, I needed that therapy. And after that, I had to really make sure for 2 years I gave my parents' wishes a try and really tried hard at just being a successful regular person. And only after all that, when I realized I could do it, but it made me so unhappy, was I like, all right, now I'm going to try to do what I want. But it's like that immigrant guilt is real shit, man. It's like your whole life you feel like, oh, I have to fucking... Because my dad, that's his only parenting tool, is like... Because you also get, I left my country for you. You know, I left everyone I love. I left everything I fucking cared about.
For who?
For us. That's what you kids. That's what he would tell us.
Why? For a better life?
Yeah, better life, whatever. And here's the thing. Here's what a lunatic my dad is. Greece fell apart in 2000 fucking whatever, 8 or whatever it was. People my age are so fucked. I have
really?
My godbrother or whatever, like some family member over there went to fucking, like, has a graduate degree, and he fucking has a job bagging groceries, and he's lucky. My cousin, he's 32 years old. He has no work in Athens, and all his work is seasonal. He goes to a bar in a party island and just serves shots to Australians 6 months a year, and he's 32. That's his job. I mean, he's living a pretty cool life. He gets to fuck all these tourists, and he's like, you know, it rules. But it's like, you know, you can't have like a career. Like, there's a generation of people that are my age that are just lost in Greece, and my dad still is like, we should have moved to Greece. Like, he's still, it's just this pathological, because it's the grass is only always greener shit. Yeah. It's not a real place. It's an escape from reality. A lot of like immigrants who fucking are failures can't admit, like, I just fucking struck out. I fucked up. And so they're like, if I had stayed there, my mistake wasn't that I didn't work hard here. It's that I didn't stay there.
The whole system was set up.
Exactly.
I entered into a fucked up system.
Exactly. Exactly. Meanwhile, the system over there is so much more fucked up.
That's what I love when white male comics will go like, you know, it's too hard.
Yeah.
And it's like, all right, it might be harder than a fucking woman in terms of like getting on TV and stuff, but like you have to work real hard.
If you're funny
and killing all the time.
Exactly.
Then at some point they'll be like, all right, we gotta put this
and
guy
everyone
on.
Has different disadvantages.
Yeah.
That's the thing. It's
like this guy's dad beat him, that woman fucking you know.
And I think for white guys it's like at a certain point, yes, people maybe just getting a TV spot is harder, but there's a lot of advantages of like, it's a fuck. There, when you first start out, you don't have to worry about someone fucking.
No one's gonna hit on you on the road.
Exactly. You don't know exactly if I don't think Bobby or Tom Papa's trying to fuck me when they take me on the road. Right. You know what I mean? I can ask for road dates and not worry about getting fingered.
Talk about my boyfriend. Right. Shift the conversation.
And how fucking shitty are open mics if you're just a
I think that's the biggest place where it's hard for women. It's open mics.
Absolutely.
When you have some like serious creeps.
Absolutely.
But then once you get past that into like club level or something, everyone's pretty nice and normal.
Right. But it's hard to get past that, man.
Yeah. And I mean, there's so few women go through that and want to, and I don't blame them, that it's like then the numbers are way lower.
Exactly. Exactly. So it's like, you know, there's different disadvantages for whoever.
But yeah, it's like you can't blame like, oh, it's diversity. That's why I'm not getting ahead. It's like, I don't know, man. Your stuff's kind of hacky.
Yeah, exactly.
There are some white guys who are making it.
Absolutely.
So like, I don't think it's harder for white guys. I think it's just not easier for white guys.
Right. That's a great way to put it.
And
yeah.
And then it's like, yeah, just work real hard.
Exactly. And it's like on some level, it's kind of, you do have to stand out so much.
Yeah.
And it's like, I like that. I want to fucking be the best at stand-up. It's almost like it's kind of harder. You have to hold yourself to a very high level, and that's what I want to do anyway. So it's like,
Exactly. You want to hold yourself to
that level? I want to be the best at it. I want to be fucking, you know, undeniably good at it.
And these Greeks are just like,
yeah,
I just want to skate by. Why can't I just skate by here? It must be so hard in America to do nothing.
Yeah, exactly. To fucking defraud the government.
You think Greeks are lazy? Not all, obviously, but like, not as a whole.
I mean,
as a whole?
Yeah, it's see, that's the other thing.
Is that
it's
why,
like,
the country's failing?
It's hard to generalize. I mean, the country...
it's so easy to generalize. It's so much easier than
you're right.
Individuals.
You're right.
Though.
It's very... It's easier to generalize. But I just... Yeah, it's weird because in many ways I generalize Greeks way more than I do other groups, you know? Because, like, I grew up in Baltimore, and it's like, when people start generalizing black people, I'm like, well, hold on. I knew so many different kinds of black people growing
up. Right.
But when I think about Greeks, I'm like, yeah, fuck every Greek person, you know? It's like, fuck
Jews.
Those
They're
Guidos.
Pushy, wait in line, like a normal like human. They don't have respect for anyone not Jewish.
Yeah.
And it's like, all of them was like, technically not.
Yeah.
But the ones I hate. Yes.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the guys, the type of Greek that I hate is just kind of like, they are sort of pushy. They're sort of like very egotistical. It's like all this, it's all this like hubris. It's all this like, look at me shit. It's all, and it's like unearned. It's like, but the thing I hate the most is like how small the world is. How it's like, they think, I remember when I got a scholarship to college, the kids I would play, because my whole adolescence I spent, you know, playing basketball with other Greek kids and just kind of fucking around, playing pickup football, all that stuff.
Yeah.
They all made fun of me for going to college. They were all like, "Oh, you're going to fucking college." They were living their lives at 16. They were running their fucking dad's diner whatever.
Like, life is over.
Exactly. And they were like fresh at the time. They would have the Nextel was huge. Like, this, you know, they had that fucking chirp chirp Nextel.
Yeah, the ones that's a walkie talkie.
Exactly. They always had Jordans. They were fucking, you know, they had cars as soon as they could. As soon as it was legally allowed, they had a new car because they'd been working and saving money. But it's like, this is just where you're going to be for the rest of your fucking life.
There is that weird thing where you can convince an 18 or 22 year old to take some shitbox job.
Right.
Because it pays way better than an 18 or 22 year old can make working in the fucking, you know, mines in North Dakota or something.
Yeah.
Or in the oil fields.
Right,
where
exactly.
It's like, dude, you can make $25 an hour.
Right.
Hell yeah, I'll take that.
Yeah.
And then you realize, like, oh, in 20 years with inflation, like, this isn't going to be, I'm going to be fall behind.
Right.
Actually, $25 is pretty good, but
it's still pretty good in this, unfortunately.
Yeah. What is that, $50,000 a year?
Yeah, it's not bad. I don't know.
Yeah, that's
okay. But that's what. It's something like that's what minimum wage, if it had kept pace with inflation, would be around there. Like if it would have was in the 50s or something like that.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, we're getting fucked in so many ways in this country.
Dave Smith says it the best, where he's like, when a lot of us grew up in the suburbs, and it was true for me, it's like dads worked, moms didn't. Moms were housewives.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a certain level of lifestyle that we led. That maybe two cars, but like, in the suburbs, it was a house.
Right.
You had a mortgage on, but you were paying off.
Yeah.
And whatever life, whatever food you could afford, it was good. It was good life.
Right.
Because now, everybody's mom and dad works.
Right.
Everybody's.
Right. Yeah.
And our living style has not increased.
No.
So we've doubled the workforce.
Yeah.
And we're living the same level of wealth.
Yeah.
So it's like,
if not less.
Yeah. It's like, how.
And everything else is getting more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, I mean, we're so fucked.
Did how big is butt sex in Greek life?
you hear that all
That's
the time.
A stereotype, right?
It is a stereotype. Well, the funny thing is, I think this one kid I remember, I think, fucked this girl in the church. It was
church?
Yeah, well, the church, like I said, it was like the cultural center. So we would have like, we play basketball there. So there's a gym upstairs, and there was the Greek festival. Like, that's the place you got fucked up for the first time. You know, when I was 14, I got
Ouzo
drunk as
stuff?
Shit. Yeah. You would steal Ouzo from your parents' fucking cabinet.
Really?
Or whatever, gin. I mean, whatever. We would just ransack, you know. Ouzo was like sweet, so you could kind of stomach it when you're like a little kid who's trying to get fucked up, but you're still a child. You don't want to do it. that's the first place I touched titties was the church, it's the Greek festival in the church. Yeah, because I was like 14 or 15.
Wow.
And it was like this girl from high school, she wasn't even Greek, she was like this girl that went to school with us, some other Greek kid brought her, and then we're just getting drunk, we're getting trashed because it's the Greek festival. Saturday night at the Greek festival when I was growing up, it was once a year. Like, when you were a teenager, you would get fucked up at New Year's at the church and then at the Greek festival. Like, these two big, you know. And I just started, like, making out with this girl. and we're just fucking going at it, and we just like sneak. There's so many like little nooks and crannies at the church. So I remember we went to like this little, what I thought was like an abandoned, like there's like an office, and I'm like, ah, oh, it's the fucking, you know, it's midnight on a Saturday, no one's in there, and we just start making out. I'm just like, your tits are out. And halfway through, these like a procession of Greek businessmen or Greek guys, not businessmen, but the guys, like the church, like they were putting together the festival. They were like counting the money in that office, and they just like came out and just like saw two children like making out. You know, she's like rubbing my dick through my jeans. I'm like grabbing her titties, and I'm just like just have to freeze frame and just like pretend we're not. And then we went to the fucking gym upstairs where it was totally secluded. And yeah, just that's where my friend fucked some girl in the ass when he was like, I just think he had no idea what he was doing, and like,
did he just miss, or he's like, I don't know. To ass fuck.
I think he was trying to ass. He was like,
what?
Yeah, I think he was trying to ass fuck. But in general,
yeah,
I don't think it's like a. I think it's more like, you know, we get a lot of credit for inventing ass fucking.
Yeah,
but I don't think it's any more prevalent than it is in any other community. I think maybe you
didn't
get.
Did you also get credit for inventing our alphabet?
Yeah, we get a lot of. We
but you
ass
don't
fucking.
Use that anymore.
No, you're, no, you're yeah, yeah,
illiterate
yeah.
Fucks.
Yeah. Yeah. Geometry.
Yeah, yeah.
We get a lot of cool shit.
We invented that. Now light this cheese on fire and let's eat it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll take fucking Saganaki over every other Greek.
That Saganaki's good.
It's so good, dude. It's so
fucking
good.
That was
a place
on the road. Maybe Sacramento or something. Where really? You always had the best. And it was like, fuck, this plate of cheese, they light it on
fire. It's so fucking good, man.
And then it gets all melty.
Oh, it's so good. Come to Astoria sometime. We'll go get some fucking Saganaki. Astoria.
That's the home of Greeks in
yes.
New York, right?
I live there, yeah. That's where I went from Greektown in Baltimore. So it's strange. Like, I do hate all the people. Like I don't like the group I was around. But there is, like, a comfort, like, to hearing Greek being spoken to me. Like, there is something. Like, I chose to move to Astoria. I could have fucking moved. Everyone lives in Bushwick or Bed-Stuy now or whatever. But, yeah. Like, I just moved to Astoria. I do like being around Greek people. I like the culture. I just don't like the actual people in some ways.
I get what you're saying. No, I get what you're saying.
Like, I don't know. Is there anything comforting about real Jewish shit to you?
No, for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Potato kugel and, like, the foods. Some of the songs, I even perk my head up when I see a story about Israel. I'm like, oh, what's going on there?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
But like, not all the people, a lot of the people though are just hot garbage.
Yeah, yeah.
I would say most.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's
the Shang Wang lived in Chinatown for the longest time.
Really?
I'm like, why? I mean, that's immigrant shit here.
Oh yeah, they
ain't like some Chinese.
Slums.
It's like, it smells like China.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
it's
he's like,
weird.
I like living in that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. There's like the story. It's like, I don't really live in the Greek part, you know, yeah. But I would like to, like, it's just kind of a little more, I just have a good apartment kind of in the middle zone where it's like, there's a part of a story that's like very diverse. And that's where I live, where it's like, there's Arabs,
plenty
there's
of Greeks. Fucking,
but there's plenty of Greeks too. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. There's something sort of comforting about it. And maybe part of it is like Stockholm syndrome of like, you grew up around it so much and it's like, it's just like nostalgia. But I love the food. And there's something nice about being able to reimagine what it means to you. You know, like I live with, yeah, when I
as
bring
an adult
people,
too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like I like to bring my friends, you know, me and Soto lives in Astoria. We fucking went to, and I'll take you to this place too if you want, the BZ Grill. Best fucking Greek, best gyro I found in America.
Really?
And we just fucking get stoned, share the mixed
it's
platter.
Gyro.
Yeah, yeah. The best
what
gyro.
Is that with gyro and gyro?
It's because the gamma is a very hard sound. Like I've tried to, people like want to say the, it's this weird between a G and a Y. It's this weird sound.
Yeah.
So it's g. Yeah. It's kind of sort of Jewy almost sounding.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But most Americans just can't, you know, so
gyro.
They just go gyro. Which is
let me have
very
a bagel
strange.
And like
yeah.
Whenever they pronounce something like that,
it's just a tough,
it's gyro.
Gyro, yeah,
yeah, okay.
It's gyro.
They had a good one next to in Los Feliz. I think it just closed down. It was so fucking good.
Oh really?
Man, meat, man, it was good.
Yeah, dude, it's fucking yeah. And they really nail them here, dude. Like they're in Baltimore. Grew up, they were fucking bad because they use that weird processed lamb meat. Here's a hot tip for the listeners.
Yeah.
Don't get lamb gyro. A lamb gyro is just fucking, all they're doing is selling you the scraps from lamb.
What do you mean?
It's like the lamb shit is just baloney. It's hot dogs. It's just like, the lamb gyro is, you want pork. Pork is the actual shit. It's like medallions of pork put over each other and like wrapped tight and just grilled And that's the good shit. That's the shit you eat in Greece.
Really?
Yeah. The lamb shit, the brown shit that lamb, everyone...
It's so good though, lamb.
It's good, but it's super processed and bullshit. Oh. It's like eating a ham. It's like McDonald's versus a fucking real burger. Wow. Yeah. So if you never had a pork gyro, you should fucking...
No,
yeah.
I have not. All right,
oh, dude, yeah. Let's go get some.
When I was traveling a little bit, mm-hmm. and when I was somewhere in Southeast Asia, some people would be like, let's go to Burger King. And I would be like, no. Yeah. No, guys, no.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Where's there to eat? Like, we will find something else.
Right, yeah.
This is not allowed.
Absolutely.
Not here. Not anywhere, really. But right. Definitely not here.
Right, right.
If you're in fucking... Okay.
Although...
Phoenix, fine.
If you're somewhere for a prolonged amount of time,
yeah.
there is something cool about seeing how they fuck up.
How they do it
fast
a little
food,
different.
You know, yeah. like when I was a kid, we would go to Greece. We took like 3 big trips to Greece when I was growing up, and yeah. they were like 5 weeks, 5 or 6 weeks. So we really spent like, you know, a good amount of time there. And that's the other fucking weird thing. My dad would it's all about appearances and it's all about, you know, seeming like you're doing well. He would take out loans to go on vacation.
Really?
So we would go to fucking Greece, and he's a big fucking spender in Greece, and it's like, we're fucking poor, dude. What the fuck are you doing?
That.
Yeah.
But he just
wanted to seem like he was fucking rich to his Greek relatives.
That's probably the same reasoning Greece is in debt and bringing down the European Union.
Let's live large. I mean, I stopped paying attention to shit. Like, when Greece went bad, like, I used to be very into politics.
Didn't they do it like 2 times already?
Yeah. They've just defaulted on a lot of loans. But the thing, I don't really understand it that much, but Greece got taken advantage of. In a lot of the same ways that like people that signed up for subprime mortgages here got taken advantage of, where they were just like getting a deal they couldn't fulfill, and it was literally Goldman Sachs. They just knew they were just fucking loan sharking them essentially. So Greece has paid off
what, Greece?
Yeah, Greece has paid off the actual amount they borrowed, but it's the fucking interest is just like over and over again. So it's this fucked up. The people really making money off of these crises are, you know,
banks.
Huge financial institutions, which are the big, you know, that's the fucking reason we're fucked more than anything.
Yeah.
It's just like people that just see making money.
Those ones that Hillary Clinton was like, they're okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like
They're not okay.
They're the worst. They completely got off the hook for.
That's Bill Clinton actually was the one who was like, they're trustworthy. Let them do what they want. We don't
right,
have to regulate
right,
them.
Right, 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 right.
Fine.
I mean, even Obama after the fucking crisis
right
was just like, yeah, we're fucked. I mean, until you get money out of politics, we're completely fucked.
Yeah.
That's all there is to it. You can't just have people literally bribing politicians.
I mean, literally.
Literally. They give money to their fucking campaign. That's all that is.
It's a slight step off, but...
But directly money, and it's like, you know... And then, of course, they're finding ways around that shit. You know what I mean? It's like... I was actually the intern when I was in... When I was going through that phase where I was, like, trying to make my... Trying to really give it a go. I interned in the Maryland House of Delegates because I was, like, political science. And I was studying, like, public policy. Like, I was really into welfare policy and that kind of stuff. And I interned with this guy, Talmadge Branch, the majority whip of the House of Delegates in Maryland. And so the whip's job is to just get everyone to vote the way party leadership says. So he's not really a fucking policy guy. He's a straight up backdoor deals motherfucker. He would never study any policy. He never read shit. He didn't know anything. But I would see him all the time coming in. People would be like, aha, Talmadge, we had such a great time last night, giving him cigars. Like, oh, and he would just come because he spends his time whining and dining and fucking. I mean, that's what most fucking politics is. It's just like that guy. He's like this. I think if you watch The Wire, I'm pretty sure Clay Davis is based on this guy.
Clay Davis.
The dirty politician. I'm pretty sure. Yeah, he had like a little ponytail.
Really?
He's awesome. Just this old black guy, probably corrupt, fucking slick back hair, a little ponytail, doesn't know anything about policy, just smoking cigars with fucking lobbyists. It's just like, that's what it is, man. Until we get money out of that shit.
He's just the guy in charge.
Yeah. Just gets people to vote the way the money says to vote.
It seems like it always comes down to that. They're like, this problem. It's like, it's the money out of politics. And then you can actually say, can you please just represent us?
Exactly, yeah.
And then they just don't.
Well, when Occupy Wall Street happened, there was discussion of like, at the very beginning of like, well, what should we do? We should have like a demand. And they really couldn't settle on it. But one of the proposals was to just, all they wanted was to get an independent commission to study money, getting money out of politics. And if they had said that, if they'd be like, this is our demand, get this to happen, and we'll do, maybe it would have happened. You know, maybe something right. would have come of it instead of it just kind of going away sort of quietly and nothing really happening.
What a weird movement.
Yeah, that was a strange time.
Strange time. And they started sending in cops to like fight with each other so that other cops can come in and say, you guys are being violent.
Right.
Just break you up.
So many times. And then just completely get the media out of there. And
that's
just fucking
today America. That wasn't like in that the was, 60s. Yeah, that was yeah. 5-6 years ago?
That was 2008, I think. Oh, that was right. Ago. Yeah. Yeah, that wasn't even Trump. No, it's no, like no. That was before those motherfuckers were just sending journalists away and like taking fucking nightsticks to protesters in parks to get them out of there.
Yeah, I love how there was some article after Trump got elected. There was an article showing that Indian reservation.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Whatever that one is, where they're hosing those people.
Oh yeah. Pipeline.
And they're like showing somebody getting hosed, and like this is Trump's America, and it's like, well, he hasn't taken over yet.
Yeah,
what are you talking about? It's definitely Obama's America.
Well, that actually got. I think what happened with the pipeline was that they halted it because of it, and they were like, "Fuck, Hillary's going to get elected." There's all this fucking movement behind, and then Trump got elected, and he's like, "Pipeline's back on, baby." It was clear.
I think Obama halted it after Trump had already been elected in those last 2-3 months, and he's like, "I'll halt it." But made no plans of going anywhere else.
I thought
just said stop the bulldozers for a minute.
Right, because
I know this guy's going to start back up.
Right. Yeah, I mean,
and so he could act like, see, I put a stop to it. Yeah, it's like, no, you didn't.
Right, you weren't going anywhere. Right. I don't remember exactly what happened, but I do remember it was like this thing of like, it could have been a symbolic halting, but then it was like, everyone was happy, and then it was like, it was like a week before the election, and then it happened. Symbolic. Yeah. A lot of the shit. I mean, that's what a lot of Democrats are now. I mean, it's just like the symbolic, like centrist shit. You're not really trying to help anyone. You're not really trying. I mean, you're just as.
Is there any? So I've been gone. Is there any? The talk when I left, when Trump got elected, is like the Electoral College sucks. Why do you have this 2-party system?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't allow us to vote for actually the best candidate. So has there been any talks since I've been gone of actually reforming that? They're just gonna wait till next year again.
Electoral College. Election? Yeah. There's that faded quick. That completely faded quick.
And they'll only talk about it when another election happens.
And yeah, if ever. I mean, if we had an electoral college, it'd be interesting because like Greece has this system, the parliamentary system.
I like the parliamentary system.
It's cool. I mean, I think if we had a parliamentary system, we'd have, you know, you'd have a libertarian party with a couple of things. We'd have a lot of, I think, Bernie would have a lot. Bernie, whatever Bernie's party is,
He'd have to be heard a lot more.
He'd have like 20% of
In Israel, it's like we got to form a coalition. So to get the majority, it's like, okay, so you fucking snake handlers, what do you need?
Right.
Okay, fine. How about I make sure that everyone can handle 7 snakes?
right.
But then you support my thing no more logging in this. And like, okay, that's a fair trade. And then it's like, no, we don't like the 7 snakes. Like, we need them.
Yeah.
We need the 7 snakes.
Yeah.
At least 5. Because when they going to lose them?
Yeah. I'm a mongoose handler, and I don't like snakes at all.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. I don't know if I'm hungover.
What did you do last night, buddy?
I mean, Becky Owen had that.
Oh, yeah.
Tonight Show set, so we were all at the Cellar, and I'm telling you, it was the first time. It was just like, I don't want to get laid. I just kind of want to hang out.
Yeah. I get that. The hang is better sometimes.
Yeah, but I had a few drinks. Not a lot, but a few. And then I guess I didn't sleep enough. I came home and watched The Last Walking Dead.
I'm out on all that shit.
Who do Greeks hate?
Well, Turks still.
Turks.
Because
really?
Of.
Armenians hate the Turks.
Yeah, well, the Armenians have a much more recent reason to fucking hate.
Yeah, but hate in fairness Turks. For the Armenians, Turks were right in that situation. So I'd like to talk about why seemingly they should have no reason.
Absolutely. Yeah. You start acting up, you know, you get what's coming
to
you.
But Armenians are garb. I mean, they had to like, you guys, come on. You look at yourselves. You definitely should be wiped out. Just look at yourselves honestly.
I know.
You shouldn't exist.
Yeah.
Anyway,
you make
sorry.
Persians look classy.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
They almost blend in, but then you're like, Persians like, that's not us. That's Din. And you're like, all right, but you guys are shit too. But I get it. You're not as shitty as them.
Yeah. Well, Turks, like, they took over. There's like an occupation of Greece, the Ottoman Empire did, from like the 1400s to the 1821. And that's when Greeks will, you'll hear a lot of Greeks be like, we were slaves too. And it's like, well, racist Greeks to like say like yeah. I should say the N-word because we were slaves. That happens. Some kid when I first started doing comedy, some Greek horrible person was like, I got some great bits and he sent them to me. Yeah. And it's like, first of all, I was just like another open micer, and he was like his main bit was like, he said the N-word probably 8 times in it, and it was like, we should be able to say because we were slaves because of the Turks. And it's like, well, that's such a different situation than, yeah. like, we were just no occupied.
No effects of that anymore at yeah, all
yeah,
here.
Yeah, not really, no. I mean, there's parts of Greece that were, like, that were in sort of Central Asia. There were, like, huge Greek populations. There were some in Russia. There were some in, like, Asia Minor, like, close to Turkey. And they got really fucked up. They got like killed and like sent back or whatever. And Cyprus, parts, half of Cyprus got taken by Turkey, and it used to be sort of a whole Greek thing, and now there's sort of these two weird independent, one is Greek Cypriot and one is Turkish Cypriot, so it's like this weird, yeah, Cyprus is pretty weird in that sense. But yeah, they still, but it's kind of faded. I mean, there's no real animosity. It's just kind of like this weird ancient.
But do they kind of be like, it's fucking Turk shit to do?
Yeah. Absolutely. It's like,
hey man, don't
calling someone a Turk is still a sort of an insult.
It's kind
of
like Polak, where it doesn't really, you don't even know what you're talking about anymore, but you're still like saying it.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I mean, it's almost funny. I mean, I think younger people, to us, it's like kind of ridiculous. And it's, I mean, literally, it happened in 1821 was when we kicked them out. So it's like, and it's been a long time. I mean, it's been since, it's almost like if the British and Americans still shit, like maybe if the British and Americans weren't allies in world wars, we'd still kind of shit on the British, you know, like it's sort of that.
It's like some young Germans.
Yeah, exactly. Kind of like that. Yeah,
and they're
yeah.
like, and yeah, we don't, I mean,
like shitting up, calling people
such the victim, but like, right. But them, it's like, oh, yeah, that was just, everybody's dead.
Yeah.
No one we know did that.
Although it's still pretty, I mean, I guess the 40s, at this point, they're all dead, but it's still pretty recent. Like,
yeah, but World they're War like, II it like, wasn't this government, wasn't the government right, before that, right, wasn't right, the government right. before that.
Right.
Anyone who's in Hitler Youth is 100 now. Or
right,
like
right,
80,
right, right.
You know?
Yeah.
It's just like, so anyway, but you make jokes about it. Like, we'd learn about it in history class, that's what they say, but like, it's just like a,
Right. You know. That's got to be a weird thing to just be a blue-eyed, blonde German and just like learn about the Holocaust and realize your grandfather had some shit to do with this. Like
when I started comedy, I remember taking jokes about the Holocaust to German like tourists and stuff, and them going like being real uncomfortable, like not just once or twice, but like all the time.
Yeah.
And now German tourists, you know, 15 years later are just like, yeah.
Right. Whatever, right. Yeah. Give a fuck.
Like that wasn't me.
Yeah. They got over the guilt, the Holocaust guilt, much quicker than the white guilt. But I guess it'd be different if Germans still treated Jews, if they still lived in the same country and just treated them shittier
for
generations.
Right.
Like, maybe that's why. Because it's like, you know.
They're not still reaping any of the benefits. They went to poverty afterwards.
Right. I guess Turks, also like Albanians are like Albanians. Strangely like
really?
Second class citizens. They're sort of like the way Mexicans, how racist will view Mexicans here.
Yeah.
Because Albanians come over and they're like fucking, you know, they're there's like illegal immigrants essentially.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like my friends would have like some of their
Albanians are crazy people.
Yeah, they're insane. I mean, here I think there's like an Albanian mafia in the Bronx or something.
Yeah, they're
like that.
They'll rape your wife. Yeah. And it's like, Jesus, Albanians.
Yeah, Albania sucks, man. It's like this fucking horrible, just like there's no real, it's like Greece without beaches and just like, take the civilization, take the culture and the beaches out of Greece and you just have a bunch of fucking hairy assholes running around fucking, you know.
Albania.
Yeah, that's Albania, just a bunch of mud. Yeah, I live, one of my best friends is Albanian and it's like we still, here's how fucking stupid some Greek people still are. So I grew up, two of my best friends, one is Albanian, one's another Greek kid. The Greek kid's dad is from some fucking village. He's some fucking hick.
Yeah.
And in America, when we were in elementary school, they wouldn't let the Albanian kid over their house.
Really?
Because that's how much they were fucking,
wow.
I don't know what, racist, suspicious. He's just some fucking fat nerd that we're best friends. We're best friends, the three of us. He couldn't come in for years. And later on, it became like, it's kind of this weird thing that we don't really talk about anymore because it's like legitimately shameful that his father would be like, you can't come in. But yeah, dude, it's like, that's the kind of shit you're dealing with.
Wow.
It's fucking backwards fucking thinking.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know. And I don't know. I've never dated a Greek girl, never any of that shit, but it's like...
You never have?
Never. I never have.
They're hairy, right?
I think it's...
Julia Rossi Greek?
No, I think that's Italian.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, pretty Italian name.
Oh, yeah.
I think Angelo Wapatini. Yeah. Is Giovanni Lasagna Greek? Yeah, man, I don't fucking, and I don't know, I never have, but I don't know. Part of me feels like it'd be kind of nice too. Still, it's fucked up. It's weird. I blew it on this date with this half Ethiopian, half Greek girl, and I think something like that would be perfect. Where it's like, still would make my father mad, you know? But also is Greek. Sort of yeah.
Like, yeah, I had this weird thing with Jews where for a long time I just didn't find them attractive.
Mm.
Too much like family members and aunts and sisters. Yeah. And then I got older, and like younger Jews are like the youth stuff overwhelms the Jew stuff.
Absolutely.
And then it's like, oh, I think they're hot again.
Yeah.
And I sort of kick it with it with this Jewish girl.
Yeah.
Sometimes, and it's like, yeah, it's just like it's like I don't know, I don't not realize.
Sure.
You know, that's I'm hanging out with her, but it's
right.
Like, part of me is like, it feels better.
It feels right. It feels sort of.
Sort of, yeah. Even though she's not into it at all.
Exactly. Something. The familiarity. It's just like you understand certain things. You have like a shared, even if it never comes up, it's like you just have a shared understanding of so many things that you can kind of use as a reference point. Because it informs the way you look at the whole world.
Yeah.
The culture you grew up in, for sure. I mean, I didn't fucking realize racism was bad. I think I made like this joke. Like, I was in middle, so I grew up around just fucking idiots, racist fucking morons, and they were just dropping N-bomb, like, saying the N-word was a big laugh for, like, a lot of fucking kids that I grew up with, you know, like, I grew up with this guy who was so, I mean, just so racist and so homophobic. Like his dad was just a horrible person, just dropping N-bombs all the time. He gave a big speech one time where he was like, the two worst things a man can be. He's a gambler. And it's like, all right, I sort of see where you're... Okay, maybe. Okay, that's kind of a vice. And the faggot. It's like... It's like, and we're just like, this is like, we're 10-year-old kids. And he's giving us this speech while we're playing like Ken Griffey fucking baseball or whatever. And it's like, get the fuck... He's a piece of shit. But fuck, what was the point I was making about that? I made just a joke where I was like, someone was wearing Tommy Hill figure and I rhymed it with something in sixth grade where I went from like elementary school where you grow up around Greeks. And then I went to this magnet school where it's all like progressive Jews and like black, you know, black kids and just like, it's just a melting pot. It was really, you had to test into it and it was like, and boy were they, and I dropped an N-bomb in sixth grade thinking it's going to get a huge laugh, and it didn't, it bombed, and I was like, whoa, maybe this word is bad.
Yeah. That's a harder bomb than with like, you know, a fucking political joke or a weather joke.
But that's the thing, there was, in a weird way, there wasn't even malice in it.
Right.
It was this goofy fucking thing, and I was like, wow, that was... And then I saw that it, like, really hurt my black friend's feelings, and I was like, Jesus, what? And I felt instantly horrible, and I was like... And then I thought about the people that made those jokes, and I was like, that was my first, like...
Oh, yeah, they were all horrible.
They were all horrible people. Oh. So it was, I mean, for me, getting out of that, getting... Because I went to magnet schools in middle school and high school, and I think that kind of fucking made me... realize like, oh, I don't want to be around these fucking people. But I still went to this youth group, this Greek Orthodox Youth of America, and it was all just pieces of shit. All those fucking, they're all just Guidos. Like, Italians get hit with the Guido thing, but Greeks are just as fucking bad.
What's the
bad.
Greek? Dago? No, what's the Greek?
No, Dago's Italians, too. We don't have one.
WAP and Dago is
Italian. Yeah, we have nothing.
Nothing?
Nothing. I wish we had a good one.
There's no Greek...
Nothing.
I had a friend when I was making... You ever see those Amazing Racist videos?
Yeah, I love those. Yeah, yeah.
But I had a Greek friend, Denny. Denny, fuck, I forgot his last name. Jiu-Jitsu guy in NorCal. And he's like, how can you make fun of Greeks? I'm like, you guys don't rate.
Right.
There's nothing to make fun of.
Yeah.
Who are you?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, people would try and go like goat fucker or something with feta. I don't know. There's nothing good. I wish there was something good.
That feta sucks.
Oh, come on.
It's awful.
I fucking love it. Nice and salty.
It's just like, Ugh.
What cheese do you go with? I mean, Saganaki, sure. We already talked about that.
Feta's more of a crumbler. Yeah, the crumbly cheese. You're not in into general, that. It's like, ugh. Yeah,
I like it on
like
a salad.
Cheese. I don't like hard balls of blue cheese.
Uh-huh, all right. I'm a fan. I like all those in a salad.
Let's take a healthy salad and just put fucking processed cheese on it. What? Why?
Feta. Here's the thing, though.
Feta.
You put a little feta with some fucking olive oil, oregano, a fucking tomato slice. You dip a bunch of fucking bread in there. That shit tastes good,
dude. I love when you're talking to an Italian and they start, they say like a word like sausage or something. And you're like, I know you were raised here.
Oh, dude.
Don't say that. And so then I try to hit him back with like, get some olive veal.
Let's get some mozzarella sticks. I'll have mushrooms and pepperoni on my pizza, please. Yeah, that shit sucks. The fucking moots. Don't say mozzarella. You're ordering mozzarella sticks. They're fucking hard fried.
Yeah, I'm aware of it when I go into like Mamoun's.
Yeah.
And I'm like, do you have any harif? And they're like, what? I'm like, you know what I said.
Yeah.
Do you have any hot sauce?
Yeah, that's a weird thing too. You don't want to show off too much. You don't want to be a fucking... I struggle with gyro and gyro. I'll go back and forth. You know, I don't want to put on too many airs.
It's just you and the guy. You'll say gyro.
I'll say gyro. Yeah,
to a Greek.
With a Greek guy. Yeah, you get the hookup sometimes if you let the Greek fly.
Yeah, if I'm in a falafel place and I'm like hummus tahina. I don't say tahini.
Right.
But if I'm in a normcore place like Pita Pit, I'm like tahina. Like what? I'm like tahini, please.
Yeah. So how I don't even understand how Jewish you grew up. It was real Orthodox. Yeah.
Modern Orthodox.
So and you did like, you grow up in like Silver Spring or like around Silver Maryland? Spring, yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeah.
Montgomery County.
Okay.
Richest county in America.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I know all about it. I mean, I did comedy in D.C. Really, even though I'm from Baltimore, I would drive down. So
who'd you do it with? Mike Diesel? Was he still there?
No, I missed Diesel. I mean, I caught some of Diesel. Diesel was around.
He was crazy.
Wiseacres was funny.
Man, that open mic that they ran there, and I remember going to that place. I never went before, and then I came back to try to like, now I'm doing comedy.
Right.
Because I started in L.A. for no reason at all.
Oh, interesting. No, oh, really? You didn't
I was
do
like,
any
I
stuff over there?
Comedy, then I moved to L.A.
Hilarious.
Like, don't you want to do this first? Yeah. No, let me throw all in. Let me completely commit my entire life to go to an open mic. Fucking Jesus.
That's fucking
idiot.
Crazy. Yeah.
But, yeah, I would go back there, and LA open mics are, I don't know what they're like here or Baltimore, but they're terrible there. I mean, it's like 6 to 12 people, almost always all comics.
Yeah.
Sometimes it'll be good, it'll be 25 comics.
Right.
And then if you go towards the end, I mean, some of them were like 6 comics, and 2 were like writing in their notebook.
Yep.
1 was paying attention, 1 was asleep.
Right. Yeah.
And it was just like, this is difficult.
Yeah. Baltimore actually in D.C. was really good.
Yeah, so I remember going back to Wiseacres on the Wednesday night open mic, and then like it was in the basement of a what, Sheraton or something?
It was a hotel, yeah. It's not there anymore.
Oh, damn.
The place got, I think the hotel got a different management, and they were like, we don't want to be associated with this.
Yeah, these degens hanging out. And then you'd sign up, you'd hope to go on, but then somebody was like, I was talking to someone else who was also 2 years into comedy, and he was like, oh, it's just an open mic, you know? And I was like, dude, there's 60 real people here, not even comics, 60.
It's crazy.
I'm like, just so you know, this is the best show I've ever done. I know you're taking this for granted.
Absolutely.
But like, you're playing for 60 real.
Yeah, it's wild. I mean, I took that shit for granted. I mean, that was hard about moving here was just like, I would just do shows like that every night. And it's and you're also like one of the best comics, so you could just go on all the time and shit. Yeah, so then you move here.
How do you move out of that?
Oh, it's fucking brutal. I mean, it was brutal. The first 2 years were hard because it's like, I just missed the stage time.
Yeah.
I just like to fucking, and I still don't get as much stage time as
I'd
like.
But do you do open mics here then?
Yeah,
you
I do.
Open fill it in with open
when
mics?
If you know, I'll have a couple shows a week, and then whenever I'm not booked, especially if I want to work on a new bit, I'll just fucking, I basically just take brand new shit to open mics and just kind of fucking...
Right.
Try.
I'll take stories there sometimes when I'm like brand new stories. I'm like, I don't know how this is going to go, but open mics, I really feel like I can just like, it's almost like me talking to 7 people.
Exactly. Yeah.
So it's like, let me tell you guys this story.
Totally. Yeah.
Everybody, come over here. Let me tell you about
this. Right.
And then it's like, then I can take that to like a show or something.
Right. Like bar show or something.
But then they expect like a certain amount of laughter there. But open mics, I mean, there's no expectation of laughter.
Absolutely. There's something freeing about it. And that's, but it's like, the bombs there are so beautiful because they're even to completely bombed there.
With support of like other comics. Trying to like uncomfortably laugh.
To not even get those, you really have to be fucking...
There's a level of silence that like... I don't know if you ever see the second to last Alien movie where it's just like pure space silence. It's like that.
You hear that shit in open mic for
it's
sure.
Like, there's not even crickets. Like,
no.
I think my bomb sucked up
sound particles.
Is John Eck still around at all?
No, I never really caught. He was sort of
the best.
Really?
I don't know how you felt about him.
I never caught him. I mean, he was, because he was at the Improv, and then he tried to run that other club, right?
What was that one called?
The Riot Act.
Riot Act.
Yeah, yeah. But I missed that. I started doing comedy again. Like, when I was 18, a lot of, maybe some of the people that you know, when I did like 6 months or a year of open mics, I kind of caught a lot of people. And they sort of knew me as like kid who's just starting comedy. But then I just, like I said, I stopped for years. So when I was coming back, when I was like 21 or 22, the Riot Act was kind of on its last legs already. Yeah. It was like, you know.
They pushed him out of there.
Yeah, they pushed him out of there. It seemed like they just wanted to get a fucking liquor license, and they used a comedy place to get it.
Oh, really?
And then once they got it,
they made it like a
they
sports just
made
bar.
It, they made it, exactly. They made it a fucking Chuck E. Cheese, one of those Chuck E. Cheese for adults. Where it's
Dave
like,
and Buster's?
Yeah, kind of like an off-brand Dave and Buster's, a bootleg Dave and Buster's.
They use the comedy club to get a liquor license.
Yeah.
That's how low we were.
That's what it seemed. Yeah, exactly.
He's the best. He really got me into the DC Improv. And when he left, I wasn't in for a while. And it was just like, he would just like give people chances.
That's cool.
It's like you just need a couple people early to believe in you.
Right.
And he was definitely one.
That's great. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I never caught him. I think when I was coming back, maybe he was trying to get back into comedy a little bit.
Yeah.
But it didn't seem to take. And I never met him. I just would see him on like Facebook, or I guess MySpace at the time.
Yeah.
I
don't know what happened wrong with him. Maybe he just liked comedy too much. He was too much of a fan of the art form, and he couldn't like... I really have no idea. I don't know what it takes to actually run a business. Probably also really hard. Tried to run a comedy club, I'd probably fail too.
Absolutely, dude.
Yeah, you got to know about like marketing shit and like...
Yeah, and basically you're running a restaurant.
Yeah.
You're running a restaurant that like fucking, you know... People just fucking talk about beating off inside of.
Yeah.
Like that's
dude, I've talked about this, I'm sure, but like, I love, you ever go to Yelp reviews of comedy clubs?
No.
Oh, you got it.
Oh, man. That's awesome.
You got it. Because then you can, they don't know who they're quoting, but they're quoting people's jokes. and so you can tell who, let's go to the stand right now, actually.
Here. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The best was Yelp. How do I do Yelp? David Taylor, this comedian in L.A. And they rate them based on the idea that it's a real business.
Oh,
and so the comedians are in their minds employees of a business.
Yeah,
a waiter.
That's so funny.
Yeah. Let's see. Look. I not do this because I'm going to be saying the negative ones. Keep in mind, there's probably mostly positive ones, but the negative ones you got to like look for.
Nah, the negative ones we're shitting on. It's funny. Yeah. We're having a good time.
So anyway, they were writing about David. We knew his bits. It was like, that's David. But they were like also like, okay, we were leaving angry because we weren't treated with respect. And literally on the way out, to them, it's an employee. He literally told us that he hopes we die in a fire. He said he hopes we die in a fire.
Yeah, it's like...
If a waiter said that, I'd be like, oh yeah, you can't ever go back to that
place. You're getting your oil changed and the guy at Jiffy Lube's like, I raped your mom.
So 4 stars this stand. That's not bad.
Okay.
Wait, how do you go to like negative reviews?
I think you just have to scroll a little.
Recent recommended reviews.
Look at the stars.
No, there's got to be negatives. There's got to be a way to just get negatives. Okay, 1 star. Boom, here we go. Consumer fraud alert. Bait and switch. Clip joint. Headliner did not show up for showtimes. Which just means like they got a scheduling thing. They just don't understand how it works.
Yeah. Also, what headliner?
There's no headliner. Everyone was 15 minutes. The one who went on last. So Judah was like, "I'm sorry, I got late. I got stuck in traffic.
Yeah, yeah,
put
yeah.
Put somebody else on.
Right.
Maybe me, actually. Had a total off, left a hospital bed, hurt for much needed good time, and got screwed over big time.
Oh, Jesus.
Never ever again. Sham on you.
Left a hospital bed, and where you go is a fucking comedy club.
Yeah. Went to see my comedy hero, got screwed, and got a big zero. Wasted my time. Not seeing person came for and heavily advertised. Please take notice. Might not get what it is. Advertised. This guy's a moron. They drew me in like a sucker, born every second, consuming me where lights came on, show over, haha, goodbye.
Wait, I wonder who his favorite guy is.
I don't know. Joseph M. from Jersey City, New Jersey.
Consumer Maybe Farm Artie?
Oh, that was 518. Did I cancel on 518?
Holy shit, I hope that's you.
I was not scheduled.
Oh, okay.
I was not scheduled. Okay. I was not scheduled. but maybe the 17th, because he's talking about the day before.
Were you on the 17th?
No, I did those shows.
Okay. Who was on them? Do you remember anybody he dropped if you were on the shows?
No, I don't. That's hilarious. Okay, here. Bottom line, 3 of the 18 comedians were funny. 18?
Oh, he's going to the Bringer or the like...
Open mic?
Open mic.
Do they have an open mic there?
They have like a weird Bringer. Yeah.
That's like a book.
They have
like
a couple weird Bringers. Show. Yeah, yeah,
They'll have one of their comics like go on first and last.
And last, exactly.
3 of 18 comedians are funny. A few were eager audience comedians. Joke on with a small black crowd to get some laughs.
That's so funny. Getting judged by an open mic.
Yeah, man. I wish we could. I want to just go these all day. the service. I don't want to talk about the service.
No. Light. Want the comics, baby.
Now they're talking about specific hosts and stuff.
Oh, shit.
Man, this is bad. This is bad podcasting. But
specific hosts, huh?
Whatever.
Oh, fuck.
Anyway, I got to look through these later.
Yeah, that's a fun.
Yeah, and get some good ones.
Yeah.
It's the best when they can actually quote the jokes of somebody.
Yeah, taking out of context and shit.
But like we were talking about this with Adrian last night, Adrian Pellucci, because the girl I met in Thailand was visiting and her cousin, and they saw her, and it was like some people were uncomfortable, and it's like, yeah, because she's going up to a crowd of no one who knows her.
Right.
You know, we're all just here for the show, and we're all going to that crowd.
Right.
And she's so dark.
Absolutely, yeah.
That, like, when she was doing jokes about abortions and fucking dead babies, these Christian people are like, oh, my, I don't. Oh, that is tough. But, like, if she actually had her own fan base.
Right.
And she was getting people who were fans to come out to the show, they'd be like, yes!
Yeah.
Dead baby jokes!
Yeah. I know, it's weird. I mean, people have talked about it before, but it's like you wouldn't go see a music concert.
Yeah.
You would go to a band you liked.
Yeah.
But people just go to see comedy, and they're like, yeah, this will be good. And you have no idea what kind of fucking comedy it is that you're going to see.
Yeah, talk about weak. Wasted time and money with this racist place. I was literally sitting with some skinhead before the show, which was basically an onslaught of distasteful racist jokes. It was a little over the top, if you ask me. Places like this really bring down New York. I don't care if they have a history in the city. There should be limits to this type of shit. This ain't the Boons where stuff like this is okay.
What that's so about? Funny.
Racism's not okay in the Boons. Pack that racist shit up and get out, because that type of shit should not be welcome. I get it. It was too racist for you. By the way, the drinks were not bad and the food was edible. I will never return to this shithole and advise that any sane person that dislikes racism to avoid the comedy.
Anyone who dislikes racism.
Oh, man. It's like, all right, we get it. It's just, yeah, who dislikes racism. If you do like it, then yeah. I'd be, you know.
Look, it's for you. Yeah.
I really don't know if it's like this all the time, but first impressions say a lot. I also ain't no soft-centered person, but when it comes to that racism, that shit gotta go. You cannot defend that shit. A racist joke or two, if it happens, when 80% of the show is revolved around material like that, now that's a problem.
I wonder who was hosting.
Who was hosting? Maybe Berg?
Yeah, it was definitely Berg.
Definitely Berg,
yeah.
Right?
100% like Berg. Yeah.
He runs the show that way.
I remember one time Berg was like, I was on a show and he asked some fucking just a brown guy, what are you from, Poopistan? Poopistan, barely trying to be racist. Oh, fuck. That shit is so funny.
I wish I could just go 1-star reviews. Good comedian. Oh, no.
No, we don't want to hear about the good ones.
Yeah, that's boring. Sometimes I go on stage and I ask people, like, if I'm on last, I'm like, who are your least favorite comics tonight?
Oh, that's
and
funny.
Like, I don't know. Or they'll go, you. I'm like, not me. I just started. That's not allowed. Yeah. All right, that's enough of those reviews. What was I going to talk about? Greeks. Sorry, so sidetracked.
No worries, man.
Who are your garbage people?
Like specific humans?
No, like the Greeks, like, okay, like I have this theory that there's garbage people in every race and almost every like area. Like you're the garbage people of New York is like Staten Island.
Right, right. Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying.
Italians are garbage people of whites.
Yeah. Like, do we have a specific type of, well, the thing about Greece is that it's real like it's, I mean, you still have parts of it feel like a third world country where it's like real fucking villager shit. But like I was saying, Albanians kind of get treated like garbage people. Like a lot of other Eastern Europeans come to Greece. Like there's a lot of people that take like Russian women and, you know, Ukraine from that kind of area get treated pretty poorly. Yeah, they're like nurses and shit who like nurses and like prostitutes and shit like that. Like Greece is like, and like strangely African black people like sell bootleg CDs. Like that's like a big stereotype in Greece. It's like, yeah, Africans are just selling you CDs, although I wonder if that's still happening because CDs are probably that might have been a thing from when I was a kid. I wonder what they're bootlegging now.
Yeah,
bootleg MP3s, bootleg download cards. But yeah, they have just like, it's tough, man, because I just feel like everyone's fucking garbage. Like,
it's a garbage country.
I don't know. It's just, I'm so, Greek Americans just kind of in general have been like, a lot of the people I've grown up with, and again, there's obviously some of my best friends are Greek and, you know, all like, there's good Greek people, but it's like the fucking low grade of it is like so shitty.
So like in Boston, DePaulo gets mad at me for this, but like in Boston, sure, you do have some educated people. I'll give it up for that. I mean, you have Harvard there, you know? You have some of the smartest people in the world in academia.
Right.
You have some fucking meathead jocks
who are just
dumb and love nothing more than getting into a fight.
Yeah.
And then going to get pizza.
Right.
Just garbage.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I guess it's just those guys that I talk about. It's just like, it's the Greeks that are just kind of trapped in that fucking dumb mindset. There's like, there's all this Greek pride for no reason. I mean, we sort of are like, I used to do a bit about how we're basically the people that peaked in high school and still talk about it. Cause it's like, yeah, democracy, that's all we have. All we had was the ancient world. And it's like, we can't keep bringing that shit up.
Isn't it hilarious?
That was 2000 years ago.
That none of you did.
Yeah. Not even none of you, like so far
back. You don't even remember anybody.
Yeah.
You don't have any, no one told you about
exactly
somebody who did it.
You don't know that for a fucking fact. Yeah, it's just someone says it.
It's just this region,
yeah,
probably different borders back then.
Totally. Completely different people. It's 2005. And also, by the way, they fucked kids while they were doing all that. Right. They were just like, we're just glossing over that.
Guys, we've reached an impasse here. We've got kind of brain lock. Let's take a break. Let's fuck some kids. Yeah. Let's get back here with clear minds.
Take the pacifiers out of the toddler's mouth. Let's put our dicks in.
Use their stretchers to get their mouths nice and wide.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. The garbage
we
people.
We did this.
Just,
we did that. It's like,
you didn't do shit.
Nothing.
Yeah. You're painting my house.
That's Metzger's point about like every president's been white male. And he goes, you know what they've not been? Me. None of those people have been me. I've never been one of those presidents.
Right.
Here's one from Shayna C. in New Paltz, New York.
Oh, hell yeah.
This year. Mm. No, January last year. Came here for the midnight comedy show. Technically this morning. Starts out okay.
Yeah.
She's giving you the facts. By the way, she's 112 reviews, so she's definitely out there. She's definitely not
112.
Like, I'm just going on to, like, I'm angry.
Right.
Like, this is, she's a reviewer.
Although I almost, those people are almost worse.
Too many. Traditionally, like, 7 reviews.
Yeah. 112 is like, shut up. No one cares about your opinion.
So she's probably going to nitpick every last thing.
Yeah.
One comedian took out his genitalia from his pants underwear on stage and flashed the crowd. Then stated he was a rapist.
Oh, wait, is this when Gavin McGinnis was in?
Before focusing on rape jokes.
Jesus Christ. I'm with her.
Wait, here's the joke. See if you can tell what this is. She quotes, "Women have the most unsincere smiles on their face when you have a knife to them."
Jesus.
Was the gist of one.
Christ.
Does that sound familiar at all?
I think I remember that happen. I think Gavin McInnes pulled his dick out.
Really?
It's like a, yeah, it's like a pretty well known. And I don't think he's back. I don't think he can go back now. I mean, that sounds pretty, but I don't, I think, I'm pretty sure that's what it was.
Really?
I've heard
Gavin
about that.
Doing it.
I think so.
Trying to do comedy.
Exactly. One of those. And he pulls his dick up.
Man, when people try to do comedy and they try to be edgy, it's like you don't know how to do it.
Exactly.
So it comes off as just like, hey, fuck you.
Yeah.
We're all ball busting, right? It's like, no, we were. You're not doing that very well.
Relax, dude.
And there's a comedy people at the top. There's a limit. That was limit as far as it passed. I don't
know
you back.
That's so
shame,
funny.
The food and drinks were good here.
That's so fucking good.
Drinks are good. The Verde Vista is very good.
Great food.
Hell yes. This review is for the show. I haven't read it yet. Meg S, 14 reviews, no picture.
14's
She's
good.
About right.
About right.
About
yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hoboken, New Jersey. Went to the stand last Saturday with seven of my friends. The upstairs area is really nice. A little crammed, but nice nonetheless. Does get crowded there sometimes.
I agree with her so far.
Great. So far, she's awesome.
Yeah.
She's not saying fuck everything there. Sometimes people will write off everything.
Yeah.
This review is for the show. I've never been to a comedy show that I haven't enjoyed until I came here. To simply say it, the comedians just weren't funny at all. We felt like it was their first time on stage, super nervous and awkward. In addition, the headliners didn't show up, apparently because of quote-unquote traffic.
What? What? When was this?
I don't know.
Everyone was nervous. Was she,
11,
maybe she was frantic?
16. She might have been frantic. Or it might have been a showcase or one of those bringer shows, like you said.
Right, right, right.
Yeah, that was disappointing. Sorry, sorry, I stopped for it. I'll get some good ones for the outro.
Yeah.
What else is about Greeks? What else is it about Greeks? You have no derogatory terms.
We've got nothing good. No derogatory terms. Just.
I guess I
got
to try some of the food.
Yeah. Have you had a lot of Greek food?
No. Do the women? Do they? What are their deals?
I think there's a big, I think it's like a horseshoe theory where it's like, I've seen some of the most beautiful women I've ever seen in my life are Greek. And then
for every race has that.
Yeah. And then you just have like women that were meant to be in the olive fields or whatever. Just like better fucking mustaches than me. You get a lot of hair. Everyone's
a lot of hair.
Sideburns, like real pronounced sideburns. But just, yeah, that kind of like thick Mediterranean look to you.
I have this theory that theory is the wrong word. I found out later. Theory means you've tested it. And
I have this completely unfounded idea.
Yeah, right, exactly.
I have this dumb hunch.
That's called something else. It's, you put forth to make it
a hypothesis.
Maybe a hypothesis.
Yeah.
I have this hypothesis. I'm sorry, isn't that? I have it. It's like, it's a theory. It's like, no, it's not a theory.
Yeah, gravity is the theory.
I have this hypothesis that Jewish women are not good at blowjobs because their dads treated them like princesses.
Mm.
The household, the family unit in Judaism is generally very strong.
Right.
It's hard to fall through the cracks and get into heroin when you're having dinner with your family five times a week.
Right.
It's more difficult to like be bad, and we push education real hard, and so they're not, the reason they're not good at blowjobs is because dads teach them like you're something special. You're a princess.
Right.
You're a special princess.
Right.
And princesses don't take a load of cum to the throat.
That's not a royal activity.
That's not what you think of. There's no Disney, you know.
You don't, yeah, you're not sucking off people in between welcoming dignitaries from other countries.
Yeah.
You're just fucking.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. See, again, I've never fucked any Greek girls. I don't know. It's just never lined up that way. But I think... In Greece especially, I feel like they fuck. I feel like it's pretty freaky over there.
Really?
Yeah. I think they're more open, which I'm excited to go.
Hot-blooded.
I'm going this summer, so hopefully I have some fuck stories for you.
How long
are
you going to go for?
I'm going to be in Europe for 3 weeks. I'm going to Amsterdam for a couple days, then Greece for 2 weeks and a day, and then Paris on the way out for a couple days.
When is this?
This is in late August, after Joe's wedding, right after Joe's wedding.
19th?
Yeah.
Stop at Edinburgh and check that out.
Maybe, I don't know. Me and my buddy, another Greek guy, so we stay with each other's family, so we don't spend any money on lodging.
Oh, smart.
Yeah, it rules. He's also my best friend from college. We just plan this kind of trip out, and it'll be fun. I mean, Amsterdam will be fucking awesome, and then
you smoke
Paris.
Pot.
Yeah. And I'll do shrooms.
You do.
I'll probably do some shrooms over there.
I don't know if it's legal again now or not.
Oh, really? That sucks.
They were like saying no to tourists because somebody jumped off a roof.
Ah, jeez.
But you can get truffles, which, from everything I understand, does the exact same thing as mushrooms, but you have to spend about 13 minutes eating because you have to take so much more.
Oh, really?
Spend time like fucking filling up on actual truffles.
I just want to do shrooms and ride a bike, dude.
That'd be fun.
I just want to fucking, because they got all those bikes over there and shit.
Good next day.
I can't wait. Maybe engage in some legal sex.
Dude, those
tourism.
The red light district. I love the way they set it up there.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you'll see it. I guess we should talk when you get back. But by the way, Stavros has a podcast called Come Town.
Oh, yeah. Come Town. Please listen to it, guys.
We'll do it at the end, too. Yeah. And Nick Mullen, who's been on this podcast. And the other guy, I don't know. But so they have this red light district. So it doesn't like infringe on anyone else's life.
Right.
And all the locals, they just don't go there.
Right.
I mean, some do.
Yeah.
But it's out by the airport, which is also in the city. So it's like towards the airport area. Right. But like everyone else is like, oh, we're going to where the Van Gogh Museum is. And it doesn't overlap at all.
Oh, interesting.
But you go there and there's all these, the canals, you know, and there's all these windows, these shop windows.
Yeah.
Just like walking down the street in Manhattan or the East Village.
Yeah.
But the shop windows are open and it's just the door that's a glass door. And these women stand in front of the door in bikinis.
Nice.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, I think I'd like to fuck that woman.
Yeah. And they smoke cigarettes and just kind of wait. They're on their phones now.
Oh, wow.
Sort of texting while they're standing there. And they see you. They'll kind of try to wave you in. Which is uncomfortable because I'd rather just watch them until I get horny enough. Like, let me go in. You know when you feel the pressure? Sure.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. The pressure is the worst.
Or like you go to even a store like for pants and someone can help you. I'm like, I'll just leave. I'm sorry.
Yeah, please.
Really, I didn't want anyone talking to me.
I don't want a pushy prostitute.
Yeah. And you know how like you'll go like if you just walk blocks, you'll see the neighborhoods here slowly start to get worse or better.
As
you enter into new neighborhoods.
Absolutely.
Or suddenly you're in Midtown. Now it's like boring.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, now it's more exciting as you get into the East Village.
Right.
So it's like that with start to be heavier girls. Then you start to get a couple transsexuals, and then like hard transsexuals.
Wow.
And then like just big fucking dudes in bikinis.
Really?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah. And so it's pretty interesting.
Wild. So they have different.
It's pretty interesting.
There's different like whore neighborhoods.
Yeah. And then the live sex shows that you can watch.
Huh.
Which I pussed out on. But Jessica Michelle went. Me and Paul Morrissey pussed out. But she went. She's like, well, fuck you, idiots. I'm going over there. And just watch two people fucking.
Wow.
I should have done that. I don't know why I didn't.
I still feel. There's a part of me that feels very weird about all sex work in general. Because it just feels like these people got molested or worse.
I mean, it's a husband and wife.
Husband, okay, maybe I could watch that. I mean, I watch porn.
And then they just have to, yeah, well, right.
Yeah.
I mean, I get maybe they get molested, but the fact is, it's different than like supporting the meat industry because you eating a beef makes them raise another cow.
If
you stopped, one small part of the need goes away.
Right.
No one's molesting because there's a need to put out.
Right.
You know what I mean?
They get molested either way.
So now, like, let's figure out what to do with these people.
Let's give them real jobs
and integrate them into society. Look,
yeah, they're not going to be fucking receptionists.
Yeah.
It's not computer classes aren't going to cut it for them.
Yeah, and molesters aren't getting laid off because people aren't taking it in porn. They're not like,
we're not disrupting the supply chain by not fucking.
I gotta put my dick away and get out of the school playground.
I wish Ari would go get sucked off by He's just waiting. He's just waiting to get a text in his van. he's allowed to fuck the
demand
kid.
Is back. Yeah. Somebody did an expose and it really fucking, everyone's into it again. It's like skateboarding. We're back in business. Dogtown is back in business.
Yeah, I guess I don't know. I've gotten as far as like looking at when prostitutes were still on like the internet, beating off to the idea of calling a hooker or whatever, but I've never actually like
called a hooker.
It just feels strange.
I didn't get one
levels.
Of those hookers in Amsterdam.
Okay.
My last one was in Thailand, not this trip, the one before.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, I think I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah.
Once you can get laid, I get it more when it's like, I haven't gotten laid in 6 months.
Right.
But once you can get laid.
Man, even that's so dark. I mean, it's just dark in general, though, I think.
I don't know, though. Like, so the one I got in Thailand was like weird, and she was kind of like my friend, Petey.
Mm-hmm.
he was like, and he, I mean, I met him a few days later because something happened. I couldn't meet him right away. Mm-hmm. And he was just on a sexcation when I got there.
Jesus Christ.
He's like, I got it all figured out, man. I know how to do everything. Let me show you the ropes. And I was like, oh. And I was like, that's all right. I don't really want to. Yeah. And then he would just like, we would be walking along, you know, trying to get some Thai food or whatever, just all mm-hmm. the time, really enjoying the sights. And he'd be like, oh, excuse me. And just fucking bolt in. And he'd see ones and just go in. I'd wait for 30, 40 minutes and he'd come back out.
Holy shit.
It's okay. And then one time it was just like, I don't know, we were drinking and he was like, oh, she's hot. He went in and I was like, I'll come in too. And then I was like, what? And then it was like the hot one. Uh-huh. And then everybody else was kind of like grody, but I would already like in far enough. No. Like, come with me. And I was like, okay.
Oh, so he took the hot one?
Yeah.
What a sell. He's fucking all over the place. He can't let you get one hot one?
Well, he saw it. He's like, yeah. That's what he was
doing. Yeah, he called
like,
dibs.
Which one do you want? We didn't go. He was like, oh, look, inside that window. I want that.
Jesus
you know,
Christ.
Salami.
So that's so funny. One. You couldn't be like, you just... You're too much of a people pleaser to not fuck a prostitute.
It was just gross. It was like, you can't kiss. There's no like going down on them. Or yeah. And they blow you with condoms. And it's just like.
Blows you up with a condom.
And it's just like, what's hot. The point? And you're like, this is weird. I'm on top of her trying to fucking do it. And it's just like, I don't know. And I'm like, this is never good. And then I hear from the other side, like his hooker, like over the wall, doesn't connect all the way up to the ceiling. Just like, oh, yeah. Oh. He's like, oh, yeah. It's like, oh, you guys are having a great time.
Yeah, it just seems like getting fucking right when you've like the person and you're hanging out can be a bit of a challenge. And this person's just like giving you the same energy as someone who's just trying to end their shift at like Macy's.
Yeah.
I don't want that,
Come on. Also, I like choking people.
Right.
You really can't choke them. I mean, it's really got to be an upscale, like we've talked about this. That's well, already, it's that's like, no, I am a victim hilarious. Of abuse all the time, just not, and you're like, no, it's just making it harder. It's not about that.
It's for me to come.
I'm not really going to,
yeah.
I'm not angry at you.
Yeah, I feel the way about choking, it's like, yeah, I mean, I'll do it. I'll do a little choking.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I still feel like so happy to be having sex every time that I still don't just like try any extravagant shit unless I'm like, I guess that only happens when it's like, you only try shit when it's like you're dating someone for a while or something. It takes me a couple times to like, you know,
I have trouble choking somebody I really care about.
Yeah.
Oh, spitting in their face, but yeah, it's like, fuck you, whore, and taking your head and fucking stubbing on your cock. But it's like, what do you mean? We just went for a punch. Yeah, we did just.
You know what my mom's house smells like? You're going to spit in my eye?
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. So I don't know. I'm looking forward to that. And hopefully I'll have more like, in the field as a grown man Greece stories. Because Greece and Greek America are much different.
In Greece, yeah.
It's
like here, the Italians here.
Yeah.
You take out the real culture. And replace that with garbage.
Right.
And that's an American Italian.
Yeah, that episode of Sopranos where they go to Italy is so
and just
fucking
embarrass
funny.
Themselves.
Yeah.
More gravy.
More like, gravy, what? Yeah.
Ugh. Aren't you embarrassed?
So, yeah, I don't know, man. I'm looking forward to going over there. It'll be a fun trip.
Yeah, how long are you going to be in Greece for?
2 weeks.
Are you staying in one city or are you going to go all over?
I'll probably see my family in Athens for a while.
Yeah.
And maybe just the first weekend I'm there. And then I want to go to some islands and shit with my buddy. Because, you know, I want to just go fucking party, have a good time.
Have you ever been to the Pink Palace? Is that there?
I've never been to the Pink Palace.
Have you heard of it?
No.
I think it's the Pink Palace.
I don't know that.
I thought it was in Greece. I think Chrysler told me about it.
It could very well be. I'm not familiar with it.
It's a place where you might not be allowed. Super hot people are there. And
why? Why wouldn't it be allowed?
And it's just everyone wearing togas. Well, if Christ would get in, I don't see how you could.
I'll sweet talk my way in there.
Pink Palace. Is this in Greece? Okay, whatever. Use my location.
And what is it exactly? It's just like...
A resort place.
Ah.
No, this is in fucking... No, Pink Palace, Greece.
Well, the guy I'm going with, I think part of his family is like kind of rich.
Oh, really?
So we're trying to like get in, like we're trying to tell his parents, and he's got like this hot cousin who's rich and like is like a party girl, and it would be fun to spend a couple days just on drugs, just fucking around, you know, on a beach, going to some like weird touristy shit.
It's the Pink Palace in Greece. Everyone's fucking dressed in togas and shit.
Wow. Enough. Where is in Greece? Is it? I don't know.
The Pink Palace.
Oh, the Pink. Wait, is that in Ios? I went to an island.
Agiorgios, Corfu.
Oh, Corfu. No, I haven't been there. Corfu. Maybe I'll go check it out. Yeah. The Pink Palace.
Chrysler raved about it.
Really?
Yeah. Is there there's richer parts and poorer parts of Greece, though, right?
For sure. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Like I said, it's kind of this weird mix of this is not a first world country. It's this Athens. It's finally now they have Wi-Fi and shit.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. But it's it took a long time, man. But dude, you go to some villages and shit, and it's like people still have fucking Nokias. A lot of people don't have iPhones. I remember I went 3 years ago, and with the same buddy, and we had iPhones, and everyone was like, "Oh, can we look at your iPhone?"
Really?
Yeah, they were like fucking. They were like, "Well, this is so cool." And his rich cousin, she came to America and got an iPhone. Like they come to America, buy American shit, and go back. Like there is
because they're rich, they have wealth.
Yeah, exactly. So they would come here for Easter or whatever, and they would spend fucking $5,000 just shopping.
I'm sure you cannot get there.
Yeah, just shit you can't get there. Wow. Or even just going to the mall. Like a mall is cool to them. They don't really have malls. It's like little shops and really? Shit. Yeah, there's no mall really. They just started.
There's a mall in Gaza?
Really?
Yeah, it's not as bad as people say.
Huh. There's movie theaters. They should stop whining.
It's just not this level that you make it seem
I know. Every place is like. I mean, even Syria up until I mean, the last year, 2 years, it's been bad. But even when it was still in the war, it was
some nice place to visit.
It was a nice, yeah, it was fucking.
I think the problem is when you sum up a country into one thing.
Right.
When you're Arkansas and New York are different. The villages in southern, and they say Afghanistan is safe, except not at all on the border.
Right.
And then it's super unsafe. But everywhere else, just go. Yeah. It's totally fine.
Well, but dude, if you wanted to, you could make Baltimore look horrible.
Yeah.
I mean, I grew up in Baltimore, and it's like, there's fucking parts of Baltimore that look like fucking Warzone. Iraq, dude. Yeah. It's like, there's these huge swaths of abandoned houses, just fucking horrible shit. You're scared to drive past there at night, straight up.
Amsterdam type.
Huh?
Amsterdam type.
Yeah, 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 exactly. Like, yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, and it's true. It's like, you could make, if you just photograph those images over and over again, we can make, even fucking New York, there's places if you just photograph them the right way, it could look scary as shit. And if those are the images that are beamed into every TV every night, that's what you're going to think of. Is. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
not too bad.
Yeah, it's all
our need is to sum things up into one. Well, even sum regions up.
Right.
Where it's like, even Iran was like, oh, these terrorists. Like, wait, they've never shown any.
No.
They've never been anti-Jew. They've all been anti-Zionist, but never anti-Jew.
And there's so many people that are just regular-ass motherfuckers in Iran that are just want fucking to be modern. I mean, but that whole area, we fucked up. I mean, Afghanistan was in the 60s. There's women in mini skirts and going to fucking medical school and shit. And it's we've just destabilized that whole fucking region and fucked those people up.
And they're like, we got to get in there. And it's like, can we stop?
Yeah. We're really
bad at it.
Yeah. This is our fault.
Well, now we got to fix it. No, don't. Get out of here.
Yeah. Right? It's like in Ricky Bobby where he's got a knife and they're like, oh, let's get it out with another knife. Do you remember that scene? They he stabs himself by accident and then they stab him again. That's U.S. intervention in the Middle East. It's just keep stabbing.
Yeah.
Get the fucking knife out.
Does anyone still worship Greek gods there?
No.
That's way done.
Yeah, that's way done.
Too bad.
It's cool, yeah. I mean, I think there's probably some fucking weirdos. There was some kid I grew up with who claimed he did, but I think he was just trying to be different.
Is it Zeus or the other ones? Zeus. Roman.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Romans just jacked all our shit completely.
Oh, the Roman gods. That's GoBots and Transformers.
Yeah.
Come on. Why is it different? No, these only fly.
Yeah.
Come on.
They just changed the fucking names and they had the exact same characteristics.
Yeah.
Yeah, Zeus is fucking Jupiter, I think, and Ares is who's there? Got Mars. Yeah, they just fucking Venus is fucking Aphrodite. They just stole our whole shit. Just gave him different names.
Guys, I have some great ideas from some gods. This one will be the exact thing they have.
And they sort of just took democracy and kind of ran with it. They had a better run than we did, the Roman Empire.
With democracy?
Just the whole Roman Empire had a much longer...
Than Greek?
Yeah. We were kind of fucked after that.
How far did you guys get conquering everything?
Not that far. I mean, Alexander the Great got real far. I mean, he got to like fucking, I want to say India or some shit, but it's like those empires were so big, and it's just like you were conquering for nothing. It was just, it would fall apart.
Right.
As soon as anyone died.
The czars, you're all citizens, run yourselves.
Yeah.
The czar flag now.
Exactly. And, but I don't know. I don't really think of that as like traditional Greeks. Like, I think of like the Greek golden age is like, you know, when we're thousands and thousands of years ago, we were talking about democracy and, you know, fucking all that kind of shit. Yeah. Aristotle, these motherfuckers, which was so long ago. The Roman Empire.
Not that long ago to have a guy who just makes his living as a philosopher.
Yeah.
Just to like think about shit.
Yeah.
People pay you for that.
We still, I mean, I think there's still philosophers.
How do they make a living at that?
I think you have to write books.
But it can't be published.
No, you get published.
Like back then?
Oh, back then, yeah. I don't know how the economy really worked.
Yeah.
What is a rich person? I mean, I guess...
Who pays you to think? It's only rich people getting that knowledge.
Yeah.
There's not mass production of books.
I guess they were teachers of rich people's kids and shit. They would run, like, academies.
Oh, maybe that.
I think they...
And rich so people then it was would, like, I'll teach you guys 3 hours a day. Let me do my thing.
Yeah. I think that's what it was. And it's funny how wrong they were about so much shit.
About a lot.
Yeah, there's four elements. Everything is made out of like fire, blood,
fire.
Fucking stardust. I mean, just some dumb shit. But yeah, they just got to, everyone's like, yeah, okay, you're the smart guy.
I mean, that's
must have been cool.
More than I know about.
Yeah.
Stardust is a real thing. Yeah. So
I respect that. There's no science. You could just, the person who was the most convincing just got to be smart. If you were just like, yep, this is how things are.
When you really think about it, they're like, okay, here we're about to hear something that has no basis in reality.
Yeah, I don't know how they, I mean, they were just cave people, basically. How they even figured out all that shit blows my mind. It is impressive. Like, they didn't have any technology whatsoever, and they're just fucking building. Like, the Parthenon looks fucking beautiful.
Yeah,
it's wild. All that shit is... Ancient Egypt is actually way more impressive, because that was so... Ancient Egypt is... there were still woolly mammoths in other parts of the world.
Really?
Like, I saw some shit, like, one of those clickbait articles that's just, like, that ancient Egypt... We are as far away from ancient Rome as ancient Rome was from ancient Egypt. So Egypt's, like, fucking... so long ago.
Wow.
And these motherfuckers were making those huge pyramids. It's like, that's when I'm like, maybe there is some kind of like alien shit or some some weird crazy shit.
No,
we can't even conceive
of. No, they lost the knowledge of how to do it. It's like, okay, but we still don't know how to do it.
Yeah. Did they have computers? Like, what the fuck? Did they have something? There must have been some shit we don't know yet that they knew. Maybe magic is real.
Yeah, I don't fucking know. Yeah, maybe like, some guy got more than and these giant stones just flying through the air slowly. Everyone has to crush a fucking slave.
Yeah.
And they hold him down like, no.
Yeah, maybe they were running on Jew blood. Jews were slaves in Egypt, you know? Maybe that's what the Nazis were up to.
We should say that. Yeah, I get it. We were slaves.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I can drop an M-bomb because we were slaves.
Exactly. There you go, dude.
Yeah.
You got it. Free reign.
Full circle here.
Yeah.
All right. Let's call it.
Let's call it, baby.
I'm a little bit... not on, but this is still a fun podcast.
Oh, yeah, I felt like I just talked and wasn't funny, but...
Yeah, you were.
Yeah.
your podcast is called Cumtown.
Cumtown.
With Nick Mullen, I don't know.
And Adam Friedland.
Do you have to star that on iTunes?
No, iTunes lets us go.
Let you have it.
Yeah. We're trying to tour,
I think... Is it Cumtown two words or Cumtown one word?
Two words.
Oh, wow, so you really get away
Cumtown.
With it. C-U-M.
C-U-M. And our logo is just jizz.
Really?
It's spelled cum... town, the font is jizz. Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That's great. That's where it should be.
Yeah, please listen, guys. It's a fun pod.
You got any dates coming up?
I should have fucking been prepared. I don't think I really do. The calendar is empty,
your
baby.
Twitter is Stavy.
Stav Comedy.
Stav Comedy.
Yep. And hopefully.
STAV 1V.
STAV 1V Comedy.
Let Stavros know if you're a fucking awful Greek too. Let him know.
Let's talk about being Greek.
Validating.
Yeah, I don't think I have anything worth nothing on the road or anything like
that.
That's the
worst. It's like, I'll be at Broadway Comedy Club.
Yeah.
On the 9 o'clock show. I'm doing a spot. I got the 9:30.
Yeah. June's tough. So if you have any dates, if you want to book me.
Yeah.
But yeah, man. That's it. I'll be fucking eating gyros in Astoria.
Yeah, I gotta come out there.
Come out, dude.
Nagasaki.
Yeah. There's Saganaki.
Saganaki.
Japanese, you're thinking. Nagasaki. Yeah, yeah. There's a great place that's like fucking renowned. Yeah. With cheese.
Oh, I bet you would have really melted that cheese, though. That cheese was melty at the Nagasaki. What's a good place?
There's a place called Taverna Kiklades that everyone says is like the best Greek food in New York.
Really?
So, yeah.
What's good in the East Village for Greek?
I don't know. I really don't.
And I were talking about
see,
day.
Because I'm in Astoria, it's like, what's the
you
point?
Don't know.
You know? Oh, I right. think Kiklades has a location in the East Village, actually.
Really?
But I don't know if it's as good. I don't know if it's, you know.
Sometimes other locations of a place is like, the main chef's not in here.
This yeah.
is like,
there's bleh. Something off.
Yeah.
They really have it figured out.
Kiklades?
Yeah. Yeah. Come through
yeah,
sometime.
Yeah, okay. We got to go up there. Maybe get lunch.
Yeah.
I never get Greek food. It's just not Dude, something I ever think of getting.
Yeah. Yeah. I fucking love it. It's so fucking good. And, I mean, it's sort of similar. It's very, like, to Middle Eastern, you know, like the falafel and the gyro is like, they're, you know, shawarma and a gyro is basically the same thing.
Yeah.
But it's, I mean, Mediterranean food's all kind of the same.
It is pretty similar.
Yeah.
Shawarma, falafel. You got,
like,
yeah,
instead
like
of hummus, we have
wrap.
Like yogurt based stuff. You hate tzatziki?
Nah,
ooh, wild.
It's yogurty.
Do you ever?
Maybe it's because I'm so into tahina and hummus.
Probably, but
like, this is different. Than
I'll say
than
this: you probably have also had bad tzatziki.
That's possible
because the best shit is straight up just garlic, whole Greek yogurt, whole fat Greek yogurt. It's so like thick,
really?
And like it just
I'll try
garlic,
that then.
Garlic, olive oil, whole fucking Greek yogurt. That shit is so good, man.
I'll try that. I mean, for the longest time, I didn't like lobster, and people are like, "Wow, you really don't like lobster?" I'm like, "I don't like it at all."
Yeah,
and they're like, "When's the last time you had it?" And I was like. University of Maryland Dining Hall. And they were like, oh, you should probably get some lobster. Like, that's not the place to have it.
Yeah, that's how I feel about oysters. I've gotten into
really?
It recently. Yeah, big time.
Dude, I had some oysters in Vietnam or clams or whatever. I don't know the difference, really.
Yeah.
And it was just on a street, not by a body of water.
Oh,
but,
God.
But rivers run through nearby there. But like, and it was just in a big thing. I saw them cooking them. So like they had like stuff on top of them and cheese and like chives and stuff like that. It looked so good. And I was like, point like one of that or exactly like that. And I remember going like, I'm taking a real chance.
Real
here.
Huge gamble. Yeah.
I mean, there's no refrigerator. This is just a street.
Shellfish in Asia.
Yeah. It's in a fucking.
Street shellfish.
In like a Coleman, like, you know, whatever, out in
right,
front. And
they're right.
always in there like, yeah, we can. Oh, I was like. All right, no one to blame myself on
yeah,
this.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I didn't get sick. It was totally
good
fine.
For you.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah.
Your podcast again has come down. If you're listening to this on Laughable right now, you can just go click on his picture and open it up and
hell
subscribe
yeah.
while you're listening to the end of this before the music. What's the best like Greek song there is? Greek modern song. Is there any?
Ooh.
Like
I don't know.
Yanni. What's his name?
Yanni, yeah, but that's not Greek. I mean, yeah, Yanni, just one word Yanni. That was he was big for a
is
while.
Is there any like pop? For good bands that are from Greece?
Not really, no.
Wow, really?
Yeah, there's no like that have crossed over in any sort
like
of
Bon Iver,
real way.
I think they're from Iceland.
Yeah, no, we've got nothing like
that.
We
don't
that.
Have anything.
We've just like all Greek music is just sort of like folk is either folk music for old motherfuckers
yeah.
or it's just like this weird techno Euro pop that sounds kind of like generic as shit and like, you know, maybe has some influence. Although there was this old Greek guy who redid his career by just stealing American songs.
Really?
And yeah, like he would just steal melodies and then like like he did a 50 Cent song. They did a Nickelback song. There's just no, that's another funny thing about Greek culture. They just steal, there's no like, I guess they don't care about the copyright law, so you'll just be listening to you'll be watching a shitty Greek sitcom. My parents have, you know, The Dish, and the Beatles come on,
oh, really?
And you're like, they didn't pay for the Beatles. They literally downloaded it from the internet, and and they're like, we'll figure it out.
People
fucking
like, we'll
sue
it. It's like, in what court?
Yeah, exactly.
These courts don't care about that.
And they'll steal American shows. I remember there was a show called Buddies. That was just friends, but they made Monica and Phoebe one character. It
really?
Was like just the same,
difference.
Yeah, the same fucking plots and shit. It was so funny.
Buddies, that's great.
Yeah,
that's great.
They're shameless.
Yeah,
but yeah. Well, thanks for having me, buddy.
All right, Stavros. What are you doing for the rest of the day?
I don't know. I just got a bunch of. I might be dealing with a cumtown emergency, and
okay.
And Bobby just called me. Who knows?
All right.
I'm gonna tend to these and see what happens. Maybe, you know. We'll see. What are you up to? We can talk after the podcast, I guess.
All right, everybody. Get tickets to This Not Happening. I'll do that in the outro. The Blacklist, NYC.com/TINH. Shooting in June. All right, bye. Right? Are we good?
Yeah, we're good.
Thank you, Stavros, for coming.
Yo, dude, thanks for having me.
You're welcome. You're a funny guy. I've always wanted to have you on here.
Thank you, bro. Appreciate it.
That is the episode. Did you guys enjoy it? I like Stavros. Funny guy, nice guy. One of the best at taking your shirts out for Suns Out, Guns Out. One of the best. Central Park, when we meet up, he's always like, fuck y'all, I'll join in with you guys. A lot of people have body fat issues. A lot of people do. Fucking Mike Lawrence, we were in Cabo at a festival, the Cabo Comedy Festival. I love these festivals, they just lose money. They just lose money. And they're like, it's all right. We'll still go. It's like, they're great. They really keep comics happy. They lose a shitload of money. People have to move back in with their parents from running it. But, like, it's a great time while it was. And we had a good time in Cabo. Mike Lawrence wouldn't take his shirt off when he's going in the fucking ocean. Big J, I get a feeling he doesn't take his shirt off either when he goes swimming. Or he'll just be like, I don't really want to swim today. Not Stavi. Not Stavi. He goes right for it. He goes, yeah, shirt's out. Sun's out, right? I've boned up a little bit on my law, but isn't the law that when the sun is out, the guns must be out? All right, that's the episode. Thank you, Stavi. Thank you, I'm Dying Up Here, for sponsoring the episode. Everybody go watch that. Don't forget, if you want to get tickets to This Is Not Happening, go to theblacklistnyc.com/TINH and really fucking go nuts for everybody in my absence. You'll make it a great experience for them. All right, so now I got some fucking... I decided I'm going to look up here we go. Some Comedy Store reviews. So here's one star, Bo L from Los Angeles, California. And by the way, Comedy Store is a fun place. I'll just get into it. 6/26/16. All right, about a year ago. Worst stand-up and worst venue ever. Here's why. Assigned seating equals you can't just pick where you want to sit. They escort you to a seat starting from the front. Okay. Hey, Bo L, it's not assigned seating. We just move everybody to the front because otherwise you're not going to have a good time. There's no like you bought to. It's just like get to the fucking front. What are you going to be the guy in the way back? Been half being into the show, you fucking audience members, you have no idea what makes a good fucking show. 2, ticket prices. These are some of the highest priced tickets out of the major comedy venues. Improv, Ice House, Laugh Factory, Ha Ha Cafe, Comedy Club. Ticket price equals $15 plus $150. Fee equals $16.50. Wait, are you saying those places have that? Whatever, the comedy show is $20. That's what it is. Food prices. To meet 2-drink minimum, I ordered water. That was $5 each. It's just bottled water that costs less than $1 at the store. That's at least a $4 profit for them and loss for me. Bo, you're not going to invest in water, man. Loss for me. A $4 loss for him. Like he's going to take that and try to sell it back out in the streets. The cheapest items like soda and water are not listed on the menu. Most everything else is $8. Food bill equals $10 plus $1.50 tip equals $11.50. I think he's saying that's what it should be. Listen. Yeah, guys, the Comedy Store has really high-priced drinks. I'm not going to lie to you, but man, you come off as so fucking cheap. Okay, ticket, food, parking, $28. Ticket and food, $8 parking, $36. This is the lowest price you can possibly pay to come here. Oh, he is saying that. If you were spending $36, you might want to consider going to see some other kind of show, like a musical, a play, or just going to dinner. Well, great review. Here's the best part. Comedians, equal, none of them cared, capital none. As a result, they all bombed hard. I am used to seeing this kind of attitude from comedians on stage, but this is by far the worst. Oh, he names names. Oh, he names names. This is great. He has 10 friends and 237 reviews. But this was by far the worst. Bobby Lee. Okay, now he puts how he describes them in parentheses. I love this. This is a good one. Bobby Lee, sad. Greg Fitzsimmons, forgettable. Mary Lynn Rightscrub, said she didn't want to be here tonight, and it showed. Carmen Lynch, much older than her headshot, and so is her material. He looked at her headshot. Argus Hamilton, save your jokes for your AA potluck dinners. Kirk Fox, made the show feel like an open mic. Ian Edwards, black comedian, thanks for saying the N-word a lot and make white people laugh. Theo Vaughn, ask the audience to guess how many hamsters he killed so he can act out killing hamsters for 3 minutes. Jeffrey, oh, I'm in here. Oh my God, I'm in here. Oh my God, I didn't know this. I just took a screenshot. I didn't realize Jeff Richards' terrible impressions, and he was drunk. Ari Shaffir, tired, long-limbed, and ugly, like a sloth. I'm so glad I'm in here. Oh, I should have saved that one for the end. That had to be the best one. Oh my God, tired, long-limbed, and ugly, like a sloth. I gotta take a screenshot of this. Oh, I'm gonna put this on Instagram today. Ari Shaffir, tired, comma, long-limbed, comma, and ugly, dash, like a sloth. Overall, as you can tell, both the venue and comedians were the worst I and the audience have ever seen. I know this because half of the audience left halfway through the show. Halfway through. The show is an insufferable 3+ hours long. I will never come here again, and I hope you trust me and go elsewhere. Oh, by the way, the shows last 5 hours at the Comedy Store. You show up at 9 o'clock, you can stay until 2 a.m. That is a 5-hour show. People leave because they're like, after an hour to 2 hours to even 3 hours, they're like, I've had enough. That was great. It's time to go. So as you get later in the evening, before like Don Barra shows up and the late night guys come, the crowds will be lower. But new people come in at 10, 11, 12, you know, so it's always like, moving over a crowd. So yeah, for sure, come and stay as long as you want. I can't believe I was in that. Here's another one. Sherry, I for sure should have said that for the end. This is all just bonus. Oh, I can't believe I was in that. Sherry Ann, Los Angeles, January of this year. Paying $40 for a booth all the way in the side where you can't see shit? What a ripoff. Makes you think it's okay to charge someone that much for watching a poll. Yeah, Sherry, the door guys, you just bribed them to get that seat, $40. It's not... That's not the seat. You can sit in the middle, for sure. Unless there's no seats, actually. Then I guess you have to sit there. Last night was your second time watching stand-up comedy at this venue, and it's now one of my favorite comedy clubs. What? Oh, this is a good review. Oh, here's my favorite. Waitress, quotation marks, was completely rude, and when I asked for her name, she walked away and completely ignored me, but did bring the manager over when I asked for their manager. D brought the three other people at the table. Oh, there's no D. I was their drinks, but didn't bring mine. After shit, yeah, man, don't fuck it over. Don't fucking fuck with the waitresses. You guys, this is not a fucking TGI Fridays. It's a dark, degenerate place. The waitresses have this long history. $9 for nachos and 2 4-course drinks later. I'm never coming back to this place again. Oh, here's one. Here's why. I came to see my friend perform, but had to sit through so many unfunny comedians before he even got on stage. Yeah, it was a bringer show. You watch a bringer show in the main room or the belly room. I'm sorry for that. The Comedy Store should definitely stop putting those on because people think that's where the comedy club, the Comedy Store is now, and it's not. But here's the deal. The waitresses, they do what the fuck they want. It's the Wild West. It always was. It used to be worse. It used to be where waitresses just charged their own prices for drinks. So if like a vodka soda was $7, they'd charge anywhere between 7 and 12, depending on the waitress and the night. And people started finding out because... when the shows do get, like, lower, like lower attended, like they start cutting waitresses and split it. So if the room is split into three, at some point they'll let one waitress go who runs the middle section, and the other two waitresses will just each take half of that middle section. So you might have been charged $10 for a vodka soda, and then 5 minutes later you're now being charged $12 for it, and you're like, what? I just paid $10. Like at the same place the same night. And they're like, well, I don't know. I mean, waitresses, we had this waitress, what was her name? She hooked up with a lot of people. Jim Painter literally fucked the shit out of her. Adrian. She would just, on the reg, just give away people's credit cards to other people. Like, she'd come to people and say, okay, here's your credit card to close up. And they'd be like, oh, this is my credit card. This is Bob Smith. And she'd be like, oh. And she'd get this weird look on their face, like, it's okay, just give me my credit card. And they were like, and you could tell on her face, we knew that by at a certain point, but they had no idea. Like, oh, no, Bob Smith has your credit card, and he's gone. And then she'd have to tell people, like, no, I gave your credit card to someone else. And they'd be like, what? You held onto my credit card so I could pay for my drinks. And she's like, mm-hmm. And then I gave that credit card to someone else named Bob Smith. They have your credit card, and they paid. It's probably the same color as yours, and then they left. And people would have to wrap their minds around that. And they'd be like, well, how do I get my credit card? I was like, find Bob Smith. Who's Bob Smith? I don't know, but he was sitting over there. Can you imagine coming in the room and just like not have your credit card? Here's a good one. Shame on you, Joey Diaz. Oh, nice. I went there a few weekends ago to see Joey Diaz host a 40-comedian lineup. Oh, that means Joey Diaz was hosting. I'm just stopping in the middle. He was hosting Potluck. He was hosting open mic, which is like crazy that you can get Joey Diaz to host the open mic. That's fucking awesome. Well, maybe I'll do that while I'm here. I will. I'm going to host the open mic one week when I'm here. Yes, I'm going to do that. Let's see who all the fucking employees are now. Well, the show was extremely anti-gay, but they put a lesbian on stage, so I guess that makes all the homophobia acceptable, right? Republicans use that trick when they get a black person to go on Fox News and hate on other black people. Shame on you, Joey Diaz, for behaving like such a homophobic jerk, and you had the nerve to yell at me for not laughing at you? Try actually being funny, Joey, and you'll get my laughter. I'm not going to sit around and kiss your ass and tell you you're funny when you're not. And that's what you'd want, right? Or do you want to be surrounded by a bunch of lying sycophants? You're not funny, Joey. You're a thug and a bully. Shame on you, Joey Diaz. Wow. Jose G. from San Luis Obispo. Did not enjoy you, Joey. I went to the other to see Eliza. She's the best comedian ever. And Joe Rogan. This place is way too small. You have to share the table, the small table, and you only go there with one other person. Definitely hate the seating arrangements. Ordered some cookies, never got them, but got billed for them, of course. The restrooms are pretty rad. Oh, that's 3 stars. I guess I'm almost done. Oh, here's one. You guys offered me free tickets. My friend and I cleared our calendars and drove out of our way to get there on time. You guys denied us the free tickets and didn't give us an option to actually pay for the supposed free tickets. Ended up going to a local bar and having a blast. We'll never go to your club again. All right. You had a great time, man. That's what I learned when I was traveling. A lot of times, like, your bus will fall through or the thing you'll want to do gets just totally, like, fucked over. But then you find yourself in some strange city and you're like, wow, how fortunate I was to have missed that bus because now I have this amazing experience. You sound like you had a great time. Tom H. from Downey. Rude FM bartenders out front, slow service. Girl partying out front for Halloween week was a jerk. Oh, this is a good one. The W. This guy's name is called The W. This place is a pit hole. Hello. This place is a pit hole. I was there sitting quietly in the audience during an act leading up to the main performance. The people next to me were talking. The comedian decided I was talking. He made gorilla motions toward me. The audience clapped. That hurts so bad. When you think the guy's not funny and everyone's into it, the audience clapped. To make it worse, the bouncer came over to threaten throwing me out if I tried to defend myself. I've been to the comedy clubs where the comedians tease the audience, including myself. This wasn't teasing. It was malicious and sanctioned by the club. Sanctioned. I paid good money for the show. It was wasted. I'll never go there again. All these people fucking suck. Every time some drunk gets thrown out, they're like, I was doing nothing. You guys are all garbage. I've heard this story 1,000 times. It's possible, actually, that somebody next to you was making the fucking noise, but that'd be the end of it. That'd be your whole thing. You'd be like, hey, somebody else was making noise. They thought it was me, and they started yelling a bunch, and then, of course, the bouncer came over because he just took the comedian's side. It's fucking dark as shit in there, you guys. Non-paid comedians were decent. And you spelled it dissent, and I enjoyed it. However, most paid comedians were horrible, unprepared, unprofessional. One guy looked off his cell phone and read jokes the whole time he bombed. Another guy went in for 10 minutes talking crap about the audience and did no jokes at all, like a crybaby. That's got to be David Taylor. King of late night? King of suck, more like. No, that's Don Barris. They weren't funny, and he was getting mad at the audience for not laughing. I think that's Barris and David Taylor, if I had to sum it up. Oh, I got to finish this outro. Okay. Okay. Hello. Nobody says hello in America. I guess I am holding a microphone. Utter drivel. I believe that anything can be laughed at if done in the right way, i.e. with a sense of irony. But this place, though, is that done the right way? That's one of the ways you can do something the right way. But this place takes the piss. If racist, homophobic, sexist, and taking the piss out of disabled people is your thing, maybe it's about me, then you'll love this place. However, if you like edgy, clever comedy, avoid like the plague. Yeah, all right, that's it. Oh, I would suggest all of you at your local comedy clubs, go look at Yelp reviews. If you find good ones, tweet me. Tweet at me. And if you find good ones about a specific comedian, I'm sure they have reviews for wherever you are. Tweet at them and me, too. They're the best. Shitty Yelp reviews for comedy. That's too long to be a hashtag, but find your own. Oh, my God. What was it? What did they say about me? The sloth thing? Oh, that's going to fucking make my day. I almost want to, like, change the title of this podcast to that. What was it? Fuck. Tired, long-limbed, and ugly, like a sloth. That's my next t-shirt. All right, you guys. Thank you, Stavros. Everybody, check out Come Down. I'm going to be on there soon. Support those guys. They're actually starting to make money now, which is nice. Fucking Nick Mullen was living in a tenement apartment when I had him on this podcast 2 years ago. And now he's finally thinking of giving up comedy. And now he's finally doing something. So support Come Down. Support Stavi. Stavros Halkios. And yeah, Stav, let's go get some fucking Greek food, man. That's it. Ari Shaffir Skeptic Tank, episode 393. 293? Is it 393? No, 293. Greek life. Over and out.